This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran all week. Steve is back next Monday live from St. Louis. Darlis is back today. Look at this, Carmen.
I missed you guys a little bit.
We got Darlis in the studio with us. I didn't think you were coming in today.
I am in today. I got that like three times already. You know, not that I don't want to be here, but I can go back, take a little nap.
I want to apologize. Hang out. I have snot running out of my nose.
That's gross.
I feel great except for the nose. It's just running.
It's gross. It's just a nasty.
I know how you're a germaphobe. I brought sanitizer. I brought the wipes. I brought everything. I won't touch you.
So it's not a cold. It's just.
It is just filled with stuff.
Did you bring in your own toilet paper or is that station toilet
paper?
That
is station toilet paper.
Is that station cleaner?
Back here. Yes.
I mean, the man's loaded up. This is how it was yesterday, AD. He's very, very, very respectful to anybody else who will sit at that microphone.
Just when you think that you can't blow your nose anymore, more comes out.
Isn't it nasty?
It's just disgusting.
You know, so I read one time that it's all in the back of your head.
It
Isn't
is?
Isn't that gross? Yeah.
It has to work its way through?
And it works its way through. That's why it takes so long.
I believe that.
That's why you think you're done, and then there's a little bit more because it's coming from the back of your head. I'm not an otolaryngologist, but...
Excuse me?
How do you spell that?
and nose and throat? Your nose and throat?
Stories we're following this morning. The fights at the malls yesterday, including the Fox Valley Mall, they had to close it down. Did we find out that... Did this start on social media? Or it can't be a coincidence, all these fights.
That was the question last night.
They had to be coordinated somehow.
It had to be some sort of orchestrated or coordinated, effort on behalf of these kids. You know, the first report said 1,000. I would maybe put that at hundreds, because think of 1,000 people. I know there was a lot of kids there, but I would say several hundred shut that mall down. It was crazy. And if you see some of the video,
I've watched a lot of the video.
It's insane. They were throwing Gatorade bottles and water bottles down. A police officer was punched.
Think about it. If you're there with your kid, what's the first thing you're going to do? You got to leave right away. Just get out. And people were running towards the exits. That's why they had to close the place down.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fight. They didn't want people to get trampled.
And think about how horrible this is. I mean, in this day and age, 2016, if you hear some sort of melee or fight or, you know, a raucous or there's police being called to a mall, you run.
Yeah, you're taking off.
Your first mind goes to terror.
Right. Of course. You think it's a bomb.
Yeah.
And then the fights all over the place. I couldn't believe it. And the weather. Yesterday it's 57. Today it's going to be 34.
It's legit cold.
Welcome to Chicago.
Did you guys go out yesterday, take a walk outside?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful
walk day. My dog Wrigley. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to rake the yard, and I thought to myself, no, I'm not going to spend this beautiful day raking my yard.
Oh, it's too sloppy to rake anyway.
I almost played tennis outside. It's a big almost in there, but I thought about it. It was like a legit thought process. I was really considering it, and then I didn't.
I left here.
I want that on the record.
I went to work out. I put on shorts. I wore shorts yesterday.
With
a sweatshirt. Yeah. God, that's nice.
That's so adorable. You look good in shorts.
I appreciate that. I have nice legs.
Do you guys need a minute?
Not right now.
Okay.
We have a ski trip to give away to Granite Peak in Wausau, Wisconsin. My wife is from Wausau. I go to Granite Peak every year. I absolutely love it. Ski there. It's fantastic. Are you a skier?
I am a Midwest once-a-year skier, and I have been to Granite Peak, and I love the Rib Mountain Inn up there. I know that where that's not which sounds dirty but really isn't, mm-hmm. and it's a lovely establishment. Granite Peak is an awesome, awesome venue for the Midwest. I mean, you feel like you're really doing something when you go up there. So this is a great package here. I'm excited for whoever wins.
Do they have the Black Diamonds?
They got some black.
Yeah, they got it all. See, they have so many runs, and I want to say they're opening some new ones this year too.
I want to be. I'm just not very good at skiing.
You don't have to be good.
I like the summer sports a little better, but I wish I was better at skiing.
I never skied in my life. And 4 years ago, Charlie, my son, 11-year-old son, wanted to learn to ski, and my wife told me that her sister is a ski instructor.
No.
Yes. So she taught me to ski 4 years ago.
And you love it?
It's simple. Two things. Pizza and French fries. Pizza, so you point your skis in to stop, and French fries to go. Point them out. That's it.
That sounds so much easier.
Pizza, French fries. That's it.
Than actually doing it.
Give me a pizza. Give me a pizza. Bring it down. That's how you do it. Right, Mark?
Yes. I have bigger vision of you actually getting to the hockey stop and not doing the whole pizza stop thing. I think you're talented enough to do that. You're telling me about your two-guard skills yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You could learn a good hockey stop. But sure, pizza will get it done.
I'm getting better.
Carmen's more of like a side fry.
Yeah.
You know, like you take the french fries and you kind of go, phew.
I mean, I'm terrible, but if you, the whole concept of you just turn.
People think that don't know like how to ski, birds. They think you just go straight down the mountain. You don't do that. You go side to side and take it slow. It's not like the Olympics you see on TV.
I tried years ago. I just wasn't very great at it.
You got to take lessons. That's the key.
I know. I took one. Well, it wasn't really a lesson. It was a rope, you know, one of the bunny hill ones, and you just have to, learn how to grab the rope, so then it just kind of pulls you up the...
Which is terrifying.
I love the rope.
Terrifying.
It is. They have it all at Granite Peak.
Crash going up the rope, vision, darless.
This is how we're going to give this away. We want you to call us and tell us in six words or less why you need to get away. Why do you need to get away? Six words or less. It's tougher than you think. 312-981-7200, six words or less. I need a vacation. That's four. Okay. Yeah. Look at us counting on our fingers. 312-981-7200, Granite Peak in Wisconsin. We have a ski package that includes four lift passes, a two-night stay at the Hampton Inn. Book your ski and stay package at SkiGranitePeak.com. That's SkiGranitePeak.com. 312-981-7200. We'll take six callers. You need to tell us in six words or less why you want to get away. Let's take a look at traffic. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis, Mark Carmen, Steve Cochran back next Monday. Steve live from the Winter Classic in St. Louis. Why do you need to get away? In six words or less, we'll send you the Granite Peak in Wausau, Wisconsin. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Bob. Bob, six words or less.
Hey, Pete. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Mine is happy wife, 27th anniversary, happy life. It's our anniversary, January 6th.
Oh. 27 years?
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
I liked it. Liked it. Good start.
27 years.
He's the front runner.
I'm writing this down.
One.
Bob? No, we have more.
He is in first place.
27 years married.
Okay. Addison Russell, 27.
Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on WGN.
Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Mine is promised to take my kids skiing.
Oh, how many kids do you have?
I have four.
Four kids. Got to take kids skiing. Four kids. Okay.
I'd say they're tied for first.
All right.
Don't know if you should be relying on a radio prize to get that done. I'm skeptical.
You guys are brutal this morning.
No, they're tied.
Jeff, you're on WGN.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. Five words. Five-year-old triplet daughters.
Oh, no.
Oof.
You're kidding.
Relief.
Hold on, one more word. Tired.
Oh, we got a three-way tie for first.
Oh, my God. Five-year-old triplet daughters. Man, you're just trying to get to sleep at night. You don't have any long-term goals at all. You just want to get to bed. Am I right?
And Grandma will be more than happy to watch them.
Oh, my God. That is just crazy. How did you do it the last 5 years?
Very tired.
Very, very tired.
He's going to say, go hit the slopes. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yes.
I'm the guy that always worries about where I'm going to send my kid to high school. Is that in the back of your mind or college?
You know what? I thought about it, and it would probably be cheaper to buy the limo, the church, everything.
Jeff, hold on, okay?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm stressed just talking to him. Wow. That's rough stuff.
These are three awesome stories.
Good ones. Yeah. We have to decide, too.
You do.
Kathy, you're on WGN.
Good morning.
Good morning. Six words or less, why you need to get away.
It has something to do with my job, and the six words are made 600 pieces of jewelry in December.
Wait, say that again?
Made 600 pieces of jewelry in December.
You grinded.
Wow. 600 pieces of jewelry. What do you do?
Yes. I make my own jewelry out of my house in my 110-year-old basement, and I've been doing it for 15 years, and I'm in quite a few stores in the Lake County area, and that's what I did.
What kind of jewelry? Go ahead and give yourself a plug.
It's all handmade. I do all my silk thread knotting. on my own. I use sterling silver, freshwater pearls, and my precious stones.
What's your website?
Kathy Horton Designs. I'm on Facebook.
All right.
I don't have time to have a website. I do it all on my own.
Got it. She needs to get away. Thank you, Kathy.
Technically, 600 would be probably two words. But, hey, she is in that in that four-way tie.
Look at that.
Wow.
Four-way tie for first right there.
You're rough.
Anything for the 43-year-old single male in that jewelry thing? Go ahead.
Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
Why do you need to get away in six words or less for the trip to Granite Peak in Wausau, Wisconsin?
Air Force daughter needs a vacation.
Say that again?
Air Force daughter needs a vacation.
How old's your daughter?
20.
20 years old. Air Force daughter needs a vacation. Mm. Is she home?
Oh, Air Force.
She is on the base in Peoria.
Oh, P-Town. My neck of the woods, where my mother lives.
Playing on the host heartstrings.
Yeah, no kidding. Five-way tie for first.
All right, Debbie, hold on.
Got a veteran in there.
Yeah, that's a rough one right there. Carla, you're on WGN. Carla, you with me? Oh, I'm sorry. How about if I press the button? There we go. Carla.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
My six words are, I am a recent 56-year-old widower. I need a sister's weekend.
Oh, needs a sister's weekend. Wow. That's a rough one right there. When did your husband pass away?
In August.
In August. You do need to get away. Okay. Hold on, Carla. We need to decide what we're going to do here, guys. We're going to take a break. We got to decide a winner.
This is tough.
Abstain. Good luck. No idea.
Okay. Oh, we have one more? I'm sorry.
Oh, good. Throw more in here. Good.
Do we have one more? Oh, there he is. Okay. Ed, you're our last one. Go ahead, bud.
All right. My six words are, my wife's pain pump was removed.
My wife's pain pump was removed. Why did she have a pain pump?
She was in a really bad car accident, and for many years after her back fusion surgery, she had to have a pain pump, and it pumped in Dilaudid or morphine, and she has slowly gone through rehab and has got better and better, and this year the doctors took it out.
And she can ski?
So we're ready for a vacation. Okay. Pardon?
She can ski.
She can, she probably would do the hill and the rope thing.
Okay.
She is greatly improved. Yep.
The rope thing with Andrea. All right.
Yeah,
thank you, Ed. Okay. We need to take a break and give away this grand prize, Granite Peak in Wisconsin ski vacation package, including four lift passes and a two-night stay at the Hampton Inn. Remember, you can book your ski and stay package at SkiGranitePeak.com. It's 720 WGN. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the big story. Bears. The Bears.
Covering
the Bears for WGN Radio.
Victory.
On the phone with us, Adam Hogue. How you doing, bud?
Morning, guys. I'm good.
I had to send Adam an email after your appearance last week because I felt so bad. I was so frustrated with the Bears because I'm a season ticket holder. I give them money to see this on the field. I just get mad when we talk about the Bears.
Hey, look, I talk to Hamp, OB, and Kaz, and Carm every week. I've been doing this for 6 years. I am used to being the radio station's Bears punching back. That's
okay.
Kind of your role when you're the reporter for the team. I feel that way, so I embrace it.
Okay.
Everything's good.
Well, I thought it would be fun that we could give out our year-end awards. We'll go through some categories. Everybody can chime in if you'd like, okay? How about the player of the year?
I got to go with Jordan Howard.
Okay. Jordan Howard
had a great rookie season, although I will say if your fifth-round draft pick rookie is your player of the year, you're probably looking at a 3-13 season.
Wait, he's on our team, right?
Yes.
Jordan Howard, he's been a bright spot this season.
Fourth-round pick, Indiana, the next something.
Player of the year, I agree 100%. Jordan Howard has been a bright spot. Andrea, do you want to chime in? Carmen?
With what part? Jordan Howard?
Player of the year.
Oh, player of the
Who's
year.
Who's your player of the year?
Right. I would agree. Jordan Howard, absolutely.
I would agree, yes.
You have no idea.
Matt Barkley
Jordan
until
is.
Last week.
No, not Matt Barkley.
I love Matt Barkley.
All our players are either sick or out or...
Well, how many are on the IR? 18? Adam?
We're up to 19 now.
19 on the injured reserve. Okay.
I was into Josh Bellamy, too. I love the way he drops passes. The guy's amazing.
Save it. It could be a category. Biggest bust of the year, Adam?
Well, I hate to kill a guy who's just been hurt, but come on, he's your first-round draft pick from a year ago, and he's still hardly been on the field. Kevin White has to be the biggest bust.
Kevin White, I agree 100%. I think he's done. Is he done?
I hope not. I hope not, but, man, you wonder if that leg is just going to continue to be fragile. And you hope it's not, because he has a lot of talent. But if your leg keeps breaking, you can't play.
Right. And did he play one game this year?
He played four, and he actually started showing some really positive signs in week three and four before he got hurt. So I can't kill the draft pick. I understand why Ryan Pace made it, but man, it just sucks that he's been hurt.
Biggest bust of the year, Mark.
Jay Cutler. Couldn't stay on the field. Four touchdowns, five interceptions. Coming off a great season, he was awful. That's the end. Brutal.
Andrea?
I'm saying Cutler, too.
Cutler?
Yeah.
Okay. End of year awards. Adam Hogue on the phone with us. Most likely not to be quarterback next year. Adam?
Man, this was hard. I thought about this for a while because this is really a toss-up between these three guys, Jay Cutler, Brian Hoyer, and Matt Barkley. But I'm going to say Hoyer, because I think Cutler's contract still keeps him in play to stay around, and Matt Barkley showed enough, and he's younger, that they might try to keep him. But I could see Hoyer back, too. I'm just going to go with Hoyer to answer this question.
Hoyer's gone. Okay, so if they keep Cutler, they have to pay him $18 million. If they cut him, they pay him what, two?
If they cut him, they actually don't have to pay him anything, but there's still about $2 million left over from a cap perspective just because of his signing bonus.
Okay, I say Cutty's gone.
So do I.
Okay.
Me too.
All right. Most likely to get fired off the coaching staff, Adam.
I think it's offensive coordinator Dow Loggins. There's a possibility, I guess, that both of these coordinators could be in trouble. But I think with Dow Loggins being so young and some of the questionable play calling, I think he's most likely. Although I could still see this whole staff being kept intact completely.
Really?
I
agree with you with the offensive coordinator, but I think Vic Fangio, I think he's had it. I think he leaves.
I could see that. I mean, I think there's some friction, maybe some frustration with what he's working with here. But he is under contract, so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out next week.
Mark?
I'm going with Jeff Rogers, special teams coordinator, bad hair.
The only reason.
Andrea?
I'm saying Fox.
Fox. You think Fox is going to get fired?
Done.
Okay. All right. Comeback player of the year.
Wishful thinking, maybe a little bit.
Who's the comeback player of the year?
I mean, I couldn't think of anybody besides Pernell McPhee.
Look at it. I have it written down.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, no one's really come back, though. I mean,
right.
Everyone's either gone, fired,
or injured.
There's like really only one guy that came back from anything. That's Pernell McPhee.
Right.
I mean, I'm being ridiculous throwing out bad hair for the coaching reason firing, but how could you – Pernell McPhee, he was good last year. He can't be the comeback player of the year.
Who else do you have?
I don't know.
The kicker.
It's a fair
– Well, he was injured when? When did he get injured? Towards the end of the season last year, right?
Yeah, late in the year.
He's been injured the whole year. How many games has Pernell McPhee played?
Who else is going to pick? Kyle Fuller, who didn't even come back?
Yeah, he didn't come back.
Can Matt Barkley be the comeback player of the year because he never did anything?
He's got
It crossed my mind. It crossed my mind. Okay. But again, what's he coming back from?
Right. Fair. I say McPhee, too. Andrea?
Can I ask Hogue a locker room question?
Sure.
Do they go in the locker room and are they like, oh, we suck? Or is it more of a, oh, we're coming back? I mean, you guys have been in locker rooms.
Yeah. Obviously it's only open to us for 45 minutes a day, so you don't get to see a lot of it, but I think it's mostly positive, and you got to understand this is their job, you know, so they do treat it like, hey, you show up in the morning, you just get your individual work done and you go home to a certain extent. So I don't think that they're openly criticizing each other. You know, I'm sure when they go home to their wives and their kids, maybe there's some honesty there.
Right. If you have nothing to play for, I don't see any fire in your belly, and you don't want to get hurt, okay? I mean, we're terrible this season. We're 2-12 right now. I'm sorry, 3-12.
Yeah, don't sell short.
Sorry.
So what was it, comeback player?
Comeback player of the year.
I'm saying White.
No, he didn't come back. He got injured again.
All right, yeah, McPhee.
Yes.
He was back for a moment.
Adam, can you hold on a second? We're going to check traffic, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the softest player award, worst attitude, player position most likely to take in round one of the NFL draft, most surprising player of the year, and more, okay? .720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. On the phone with us, he covers the Bears for WGN Radio. It's Adam Ho going through the end-of-year awards. We are on the softest player award. Who is the softest on the team, Adam?
Kyle Fuller, who had a knee scope in August.
Wow.
Didn't play a single game. Basically, his coaches called him the softest player on the team by saying it was up to him to come back. We medically cleared him, and he decided not to.
Really?
The Derrick Rose of the Bears without the MVP award.
It's a good comparison, and every time I tweeted about Kyle Fuller in the last 2 weeks, my responses on Twitter were immediately about Derrick Rose.
Really?
See, that's just wrong to Derrick Rose, but go ahead. We're talking about the Bears.
So is Kyle Fuller still under contract? Is he back next season?
He does have one more year left on his contract. However, would imagine the Bears are going to try to trade him because it's affordable. It'd be like $1.7 million for whatever team's picking him up, and he is a former first-round pick. So I think someone would take him.
Softest player award, I say Alshon Jeffrey.
Ooh, I
just think he is soft. I don't think he's given 100%. I don't think he wants to get injured. He wants a contract next season from another team. He wants off the Bears.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I could see that as a possible second. I will say, though, he was voted a captain, so I think he's sort of misunderstood sometimes.
How about play hard? And yeah, you'll gain me as a fan. All right, Mark?
I'm going to go with Jay Cutler because he could have come back, I think, from the thumb earlier, but was having a little bit of a pouty face going on. Perhaps with John Fox, that's at least my interpretation of what went on, so I'll go with Cutty.
Oh, my God. That guy's the toughest player on the entire team. Just because you hate him. That's the worst answer anyone could have given in this entire thing.
Okay, first of all, I am entitled to my opinion. Second of all, many people agree that all of a sudden, Dan Hampton included, which I will call him up and send him after you, a lot of people thought that Cutty could have come back, didn't come back until, oh, you want to try this Brian Hoyer thing? Go ahead and try it. Okay, oh, now he's hurt? Okay, fine, I'll play. Miraculously, he was just healthy when Hoyer got hurt. How did that happen, Adam Hoge?
The timing was suspicious, but I think that had more to do with the coaching staff than him.
Oh, okay.
He definitely gets the poutiest.
Yeah.
Andrea, softest player?
Poutiest Cutler. Softest player, I'm going Cody Whitehair.
Cody Whitehair.
I don't even know who that is, but I don't. I just like the name. I thought I'd mix it up a little bit.
I don't even know who that is, and I watch the games every week.
Love that name.
Whitehair, officially soft.
Who is he?
He's the center.
Cody Whitehair?
Cody Whitehair is our center?
Yeah, rookie center out of Kansas State who's actually been phenomenal.
Okay,
that's a great draft pick. Somebody that seems he's going to be around the Bears for a long time.
Don't tell that Obradovich that he does not agree.
Who was our original center that got injured? Groff or what was his name?
Kreutz.
Hronis Grisou. Hronis Grisou. Yeah.
Okay.
Hronis Grisou.
Worst attitude. Worst attitude. End of season awards for the Chicago Bears. Adam.
I'm going to double up on Kyle Fuller, who not only was soft not coming back, but also just when he talks to us, it is by far the worst attitude in that locker room.
Okay, wow. Kyle Fuller, you're down on him. I say worst attitude, tie between Alshon Jeffrey and Jay Cutler. I noticed that you don't throw Cutler under the bus.
Because I do think he's tough. When I evaluate his play, I do. I mean, he never reached his potential. There's no doubt about it. When we look back on the Jay Cutler era, it was a failure. Absolutely. But I don't think he is fairly – I don't think he's given enough credit in this town, actually.
Okay. Worst attitude, Mark?
I'm going with Joshua Bellamy, who has a bad attitude because he can't catch the football when you try to win games. Bad attitude, bad focus.
You may want to save that for the next category. Andrea?
Cody Whitehair. No, I'm going with Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler.
Mr. Pouty.
Okay. Worst player on the team that actually gets playing time. Adam?
I'm going to go ahead and do Josh Bellamy there.
Josh Bellamy?
I don't understand how –
I mean, I know they're depleted at wide receiver, but I don't know how many catches you have to drop before you lose playing time, and he's still out there all the time.
I agree. Josh Bellamy. Mark?
Josh Bellamy looks great in the locker room, incredible physique, so I'm going to keep him out of this one because I'm really impressed by his yoga and weightlifting. I will go with running back Jeremy Langford, who I thought was going to have a huge season and just has been a significant disappointment. I know that Jordan Howard's been in front of him, but a disappointing year for Langford. Ho, you want to argue with me on that?
No, only because he didn't. But I don't think he's been bad. I just think he lost his job because of injury, and the guy who took it from him has been outstanding.
Right. He's our player of the year. Andrea?
Kadeem Carey.
Kadeem Carey.
Now I'm just picking names that I like. So he could be awesome.
Worst player on the team.
No, he's good. I'm saying Cutler. I'm on Carmen's, you know, throw Cutler under the bus.
It's a very fun train to be on.
Bandwagon.
Adam, player position most likely to take in round one of the NFL draft?
Well, I think their greatest need is in the secondary, but I'm going to say, to answer this question, more likely they take a defensive lineman just because of where they're going to be picking in the top three, and I think there's going to be some really good players to choose from there, much better players that are going to be available that early in the secondary.
I say a wide receiver. They need somebody to catch. Mark?
I agree with Adam Hogue. I think they're going defensive line. I wouldn't be unhappy if they picked a quarterback, though.
And Andrea?
Jeff George Jr. Come on, wouldn't that be cool?
Is Jeff George Jr. For real?
He is. He's the quarterback. Well, he's the backup quarterback for the Illini.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been my answer for worst player on the Illini.
Wow.
Thanks, Adam. I know.
Jeff George. That's what Jay Cutler is, an overpaid Jeff George. And finally, most surprising player of the year. Adam.
It's got to be Matt Barkley. I mean, come on. This guy came out of nowhere. I had completely given up on him as a player, and especially after that, when he came in Green Bay earlier this season, I said, oh, he just can't play.
Okay.
And then even though he threw five interceptions the other day, the other four starts were really, really good. That surprised me for sure.
I say linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski.
Oh.
I think he solid. I like him. I think he's solid. I think he's a fighter. I like him.
You know that they picked him ahead of Dak Prescott, who's the greatest rookie quarterback in the history of the NFL.
We all make mistakes. It happens. Mark, most surprising player?
Most surprising player. Good question. I should have my answer. I don't have it. Jordan Howard.
Howard?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not think that this guy was going to, 5 yards a carry, that's a huge stunner.
Andrea?
Jay Cutler.
Jeez. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were still back on
most surprising player.
Yeah. Pernell McPhee.
Pernell McPhee. You don't care. Adam Hogue. Adam, happy new year. I guess we'll talk to you next week.
You too, guys. Happy new year.
All right. Thanks, brother. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 7:07. What is today, Tuesday? No. Yeah, today's Tuesday.
27th of December, Pete.
There was those holiday weeks where you're like, wait, what day is today? Wednesday, Tuesday.
I know, that's how it is.
It's a great, great day.
Albert Martin is a Palatine firefighter who wants to give back to kids in Jamaica. He's in studio with us, needs our help because you want to make this happen before New Year's Day. Is that right, Albert?
Yeah, New Year's Day is the target. We've been going for about a little over a month now, and I really want to surprise them come up here at the start of the new year.
First of all, thank you for driving in. Secondly, what is it with firefighters? You guys are always in such great shape.
Well, there's a lot of risk factors, you know, so you got to try and stay healthy. You don't want to retire after a great career and die 5 years later. So,
do you work out every day?
Pretty much every day at the firehouse, yeah. On the days off, usually too busy to get a good workout in, so take advantage of it when I'm at the firehouse. They're there for 24 hours. So
I'll just confirm what Pete's talking about. Great arms, great chest. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, tell us about this program.
So, it started. It was a missions trip. Went with a little church group with some adults and high school kids, including my daughter, Elise. And, really didn't know what was going on or what kind of work we were going to be doing. And was in Lookout, which is a parish of Hanover and just outside Montego Bay.
Okay.
Pulled up to the community, and the property is just up in this, they call it the bush, the hills of Jamaica, and there's this flat piece of land, and it was this field that they played soccer on. And that's my passion. That's my life is soccer. So I couldn't believe that that was what we were going to be working on. And so we did a little work, you know, painting around the church and things like that. But as soon as this, my contact down there, Brother Al, found out that there were soccer people in our group, it just clicked, man. It just started rolling and rolling and rolling. And what an unbelievable experience.
Really?
Yeah.
So you grew up playing soccer.
Grew up playing soccer all through college. And then after college, got my coaching licensing. So I've been coaching for many, many years. So.
And you go to Jamaica, you think you're going to be doing hard labor. Next thing you know, you see the soccer field. And like you said, everything clicked.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, we pulled up and there was like three or four kids playing soccer on this overgrown grass field, no shoes. You know, a couple of no shirts, and it was kind of funny because I, you know, ate my sandwich in like 30 seconds and ran down there to play with these kids. You know, and they're wearing flip flops for the goalie gloves, and I'm like, you know, hey, you know, come on, let's play. I'm a goalie, I can do this. And they're like, look at me, like, who's this guy? You know, so for like the first six or seven shots, they weren't even close. They weren't, you know, saving them and stuff. Like, well, this guy might know a little something about this. So, yeah, just an overall great experience.
How many days were you there?
We were there for 7 days.
7 days. I always hear when people go and do work like this, they come back a different person.
That's what it was, man. Life changing. I've done so much with soccer in my whole entire life. Been pretty successful as a player, coach at a very high level. You know, we have kids playing at high levels, and sometimes we just get stuck in like trying to produce really high level soccer players. And this was just like brought me down to earth. Like, be humble. You're successful in the sport, but man, there's these kids that just want to play. There's right. No organization. There's no best team in the country. They just want to play. You're kicking the soccer ball around with three or four people. So total life changing. I even wrote in one of my posts that out of all the things I've done in the sport, this is by far the most exciting project for me.
So you want to help out these kids. What do you want to do?
Well, it's all about making that field that was overgrown into an actual place where they can host leagues. 6 versus 6 is what they're going to be playing based on the size of the field. So an actual league that's set up to where there's referees, there's uniforms, there's championships, there's, you know, there's competition. It's not just going there and having fun and playing. So brings the community together. They play on Sundays, just a pickup game. So to be able to organize stuff and to be able to have them with goals, with soccer balls that have right. leather on them, all that type of stuff, that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, they do it when they have money. So they have money, they do a little bit with the project, and then it just sits. So Brother Al's been working on this thing for a very long time. I told him, I'll go back to the States and raise money in no time and be able to make this thing happen.
How much do we need?
So we're looking for $10,000. We're at $4,300 now. So, you know, a little right around $6,000 by the first of the year would be fantastic.
What you're doing is phenomenal. I'm just wondering, though, on a local level, do you think there's almost like too much structure for kids on playing in a lot of the youth stuff where everything's got to be structured? We got to have the referee. Nobody just goes out and plays. And like what you walked up on, I just kind of feel like we're missing that.
Yeah, our sport specifically, that is a very valid point. You know, you don't see too many pickup soccer games, you know, but if you think about it, like the club that I coach for, those kids are already out there 4, 5, 6 times a week already,
right,
you know,
right.
So
yeah.
They're like, I don't want to go play more soccer, but you're absolutely right. Soccer has always been one of those sports where other than the United States, you know, in other countries it happens, but here, pickup soccer games doesn't happen very often.
You know what? There is a field. Kerry Wood has a new field, baseball field at Addison, right next to Lane Tech, and there's a soccer field there. I feel like kids kind of congregate over there and play soccer,
sure.
pickup
yeah.
games.
Yep, yep. Yeah, it does happen. You know, it's something that if you love it, then you're going to do it, you know, no matter where you are. But this is just a different experience because the fact that these kids are going to be able to enjoy structure and not just, you know. I'll give you an example. One of the kids the whole time wanted my water bottle. My water bottle. Like, and I was thinking, why do you want? So he's a soccer player. He plays for a school. But he doesn't have a water bottle. So he was just fascinated the fact that I was going to give him my water bottle at the end of this trip. Because when he goes to the soccer field, he's not going to have a jug of water.
Right.
You know, those are the little things that, yeah, they love.
Yeah. And we take for granted,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah. Our kids leave. You know how many water bottles I have in my soccer coach's bag for kids just leaving them?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. So. What does their field look like now?
So it's cut, and they used a weed whacker, believe it or not, 70 yards by 50 yards. Took a guy 14 hours to cut this thing. So obviously one of the things we're going to buy them is a lawnmower. But it's now cut down. It's got painted lines. We hand-painted with paint brushes on grass, believe it or not, around the thing. So it's got painted lines. Still some sections of the field are rock, so we're going to paint some grass. So it's basically cut down with some lines. That's all.
So you want to get this done by New Year's Day. Why is New Year's Day your deadline?
Well, I think in order to, like, you know, when we first got the program started, everybody was excited about it, right? What a great thing. And then the holiday season kind of came into mix, and so it kind of slowed down a little bit. So I think when you put a target out there and when people see the story and they see the passion that not only I have but the people are involved in the project and Brother Al in Jamaica, I think when you put a deadline, people won't procrastinate. They're like, you know what? That is a great story, and I am going to help out. Because, you know, we've had a lot of people look at it, but not a lot of people donate.
I feel like this is Chicago. 10 grand is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially when you talk about, you know, when you get into a sport and people love sport, and then obviously people love giving. So you don't have to be a soccer
fan.
And
to help out kids in Jamaica that have nothing, that all they want to do is play soccer.
That's it. That's all they want to do.
Man. We're going to talk some more, and there's probably a website that people can go to and check it out so they can see everything firsthand. We have Albert Martin in studio with us, a Palatine firefighter. We'll get to him in just a second. Let's take a look at traffic. It's brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda. Here's Susan. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in studio with us. Albert Martin is a Palatine firefighter who is trying to raise money to build a soccer field in Jamaica. How old are these kids, by the way?
Well, the kids, you know, it starts from about, you know, six and it goes all the way up to, you know, the young adults come out on Sundays. So it's the league we're starting is going to be from, you know, 7, 8, 9 year olds all the way up to 22 year olds, really.
And you know, you've never done any trips like this before. Your daughter approaches you and says what, Dad?
Yeah, let's be a part of this this trip. And my couple, I have four kids. She's the third oldest, and my two older boys have gone on mission trips, but never with me or out of the country. So she's like, "Let's do it." I'm like, "Let's do it." And
I think we take for granted sometimes, you know, soccer field, going to the park,
like
that. It's all right here for us, within a couple of block radius. But for these kids, I mean, it's got to be, you know, their eyes must just become so bright when they see something like this.
Yeah, and the video that we just posted not too long ago just shows a great picture, because it's American kids playing with Jamaican kids, and they're just having fun, you know, kicking the soccer ball. No lines at that point, no lines on the field. You know, the goal is like a size of a hockey goal, but there's someone playing goalie in soccer. You know, so there's not a lot of goals being scored, but just kicking the – I mean, it's just fun. It's just fun.
I put your GoFundMe page on my Facebook page. If people want to go there, click on it. All the information's right there. You want to raise $10,000. Where does that money go?
So it's all about funding the project, to getting some stuff for the project, and then keeping some. So when Brother Al calls me up and said, "Hey, we need this," I got money to send him, or I got the ability to buy something and mail it to him. So far we spent $1,500 to purchase the floodlights. While we were there, we actually had the experience of putting the post into the ground, which is all limestone and rock, and we shaved off all the bark from the trees and such. So $1,500 has gone to the light post. We're about to send some money over after the first of the year to buy the goals.
Okay.
Because they want to start their season at the end of February is the goal. So basically supplies, man. So we're giving them the lights, the goals, soccer balls, lawn mower, lining machine, pay for some referees, get some uniforms for the kids, and shoes. They don't wear shoes.
You know what? I was just going to ask you about that, because my visual is these kids are barefoot.
Yep.
They don't have shoes, do they?
They don't have shoes, man. They wear flip-flops, and they go and they start playing. So the ones that play organized, that play for the school,
okay,
a lot of those kids will have shoes. But when we were playing, they weren't wearing shoes.
Locally, have you ever seen the game more popular? I mean, my niece is out there like 7 days a week. I feel like the whole city's playing soccer.
Yeah, soccer is very, very popular, for sure. And there's so much opportunity. You don't have to be the best soccer player in the world to play organized soccer and have fun. So, of course, the women's national team being successful most recently, and things like that are definitely helping the sport. But, you know, if you take the sport of soccer worldwide, it's the most played sport by any kid, you know. So in the United States, we have so many other opportunities. But soccer's still hanging in there for sure.
My goddaughter's 4, and they're just starting her on recreational. You know, of course, not competitive yet, but intramural. She's just, oh, my God, she's so excited. Yeah. She wants pink soccer shoes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. There's lot of great programs. Kickers is a great
Little Kickers program. I was just going to say, sure, my son Charlie did that. And it's funny to see him just kind of run around with the ball. Yeah, they don't really know what they're doing, but they're having fun.
Having fun.
I like when they stop and they're like, oh, a weed.
Yeah, right?
The attention span.
Yeah,
it's like radio people. Yeah. Can you still play soccer?
I do pretty well. You know, I did play goalie my whole life, so my back is telling me, hey, take it easy, buddy. You know, let the kids do that.
We all get to a certain age where it's we want to play, but our bodies just don't let us.
I can do it, but 3 days later, I'm like, why did I do that?
Albert, you're doing good work, man. I feel like you're going to go back. This is not a one and done for you. This is a ongoing thing.
Man, you just hit it on the head, man. It's not a one and done thing. I'm getting so much great feedback about this that my mind is saying, how far can we take this? I got a couple people that have some connections with some people that make some big time donations. So I'm excited. I'm excited the fact that this is going to go further than just this one project.
Good for you. You want to give a shout out to your guys out in Palatine?
Yeah, I'm sure a few of them are listening because I posted on Facebook. So, you know, Palatine Firefighters, we do it well out there, and stay safe today.
Nice. Thank you for coming in. Albert Martin, if you would like to donate, go to my Facebook page, Pete McMurray. Albert, continued success, buddy. Good to see you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
It is 720 WGN. But coming up, we're going to talk food trends from 2016. Anything come to mind, food trends?
Yeah, I like a good grilled cheese. We talked about this yesterday, Pete.
You do like a good grilled cheese?
Yes, but I'm not just, you know, it used to be just the regular American, and then they got to the 4 cheese. I'm up to a 6 cheese situational.
How about beet juice?
Ooh.
Oh, gross.
Beet juice is
really
a huge food trend right now. Drink it. Beet juice and ginger.
Oh, God.
It's terrible.
That's
Believe
awful.
Me, I've had it.
I think kale probably would have been for the previous year.
Kale.
Because everyone was on the kale bandwagon
Dave
last
Bennett.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand kale. It tastes bitter to me.
It's completely
I don't like
bitter.
It.
You have to do something to it, like add vinaigrette or
oil. We had kale last week. Were you here when they had the chocolate-covered kale? Dave Ennett brought it in?
Oren gave him that the year before as well,
okay.
So I tasted that. It's okay. It just...
Well, it has chocolate on it.
Yeah, that part's good. If you can suck off the chocolate.
Sautéed in olive oil and mixed in with pasta.
Kale.
Jennings.
Topped with grated cheese, of course, which eliminates
pepper,
the whole
salt.
Dietary
right, exactly.
Yeah.
If you're putting cheese on it, you're defeating the purpose.
They
but
call
it tastes
that,
good.
They call that when you they call that massaged kale. Like when
massaged.
You when you juice, you know, doctor it up and add olive oil and butter and all those things to it, they call that massaging your kale.
I know I'm late to the party, but what about arugula? I love arugula.
Kind of bitter.
What do you mean? It's not bitter. Put it on a turkey sandwich.
Is that a lettuce?
Yes.
Arugula.
It's in the lettuce section.
Interesting.
What happened to the good old romaine?
Is arugula a superfood like kale? When did the term superfood come into prominence?
I have no idea. We can ask this woman that we're going to have on in 10 minutes. I don't know.
It's a superfood. Yeah.
Nobody eats arugula here? David Jennings, do you eat arugula?
No. Spinach.
Spinach?
Oh,
okay.
I like spinach.
Spinach.
I
all right.
Spinach,
is that
yeah.
a spring mix, the arugula?
Yes, it is.
Arugula can be separate or it can be part of a spring mix.
Uh-huh.
So can spinach.
Now, spinach on pizza rocks.
Yes.
Love spinach on pizza.
I don't feel like arugula is bitter at all. I think you're wrong on that.
How did the radish stand the test of time? Like, it's such a bad-tasting object. Wouldn't that
I
be
have
extinct?
No idea.
You had to put a lot of salt on it.
Like, that's so bad.
Yeah. At my sister's house the other day, we had pickled turnips.
Ooh.
Pickled turnips.
Sounds terrible.
It's like a Lebanese thing. My mother makes it every year around Christmas. No.
Oh, yeah.
Was
pickled
hummus?
Turnips.
Doesn't sound
with
good.
Beets in it. Beets cut with pickled turnips.
My dad used to eat the beet borscht. He's an older gentleman.
Yes.
With a sour cream.
Yes.
That is a World War II generational delicacy. It looks so nasty.
I'm just not a beet fan. You guys like beets, though, huh?
No,
I don't like
no.
beets.
Okay.
No, nobody likes beets. But the radish, yeah, definitely. I don't understand that. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Allstate Showcase Studios, in for Steve Cochran, Andrea Darlis, Mark Carmen, David Jennings. Just kind of riding out the week, New Year's. Anybody have plans for New Year's Eve? Anybody going out?
Do you guys go to do the big parties anymore? I mean, I haven't gone.
Dinner.
Yeah, we do dinner.
Do dinner every year.
My friend's brother does like a steak and lobster kind of thing, but it keeps getting earlier and earlier and earlier.
Oh, my God, I was just
going to
say that. We have dinner reservations at 5:30.
Our dinner starts at 5.
Yeah, 5:30. Go to a friend's house, have a drink, go home.
Right.
That's beautiful. I'll be here at 720 WGN.
Ringing in the new year on the air?
You guys can, you're very welcome to join me either for the beat on Saturday afternoon or the overnight, 2 to 5 a.m. Welcome it in, baby. Come on.
Well, New Year's Eve is Saturday, right? And
yes.
Sunday is New Year's Day.
Right.
I keep getting mixed up because the Winter Classic, which is on Monday, which is the 2nd. How come it's not on Sunday?
Great question. Don't know.
It's usually on New Year's Day. It drives me crazy. So I'm in here next. Are you in here next Monday on the 2nd?
Because no, but I'll be back on the 3rd. Wait.
Steve takes over at 9 o'clock, so I'm live in the studio, and then he is live in St. Louis to take over for the Winter Classic leading up, the pregame leading up to the game.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Good thing I know. I mean, hey, you know, we find out about this stuff.
You better check the schedule,
yeah, we'll
Andrea.
Check the schedule.
Solid programming.
I'm not even on the schedule for today. So,
how often do you guys order out?
A lot.
How many nights a week?
Two, Mark?
Three, four. You're a single guy. You're ordering
seven.
Out or eating out.
You order
every
seven
night.
Nights out?
I don't. I rarely cook. I just bought some chicken and some salmon. I was dreaming of cooking it. It ended up in the freezer. Someday it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as bad, but I do probably five nights a week. I'll eat out.
Think about it. When you were a kid, how many times did you order out?
Oh. Once
never,
every other week? Yeah.
Never. We no. never
we would
did.
Order a pizza. That'd be our big thing.
Pizza was a big thing. Chinese
pizza.
Food.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Dad's going to go over to Ming Shi and pick up some Chinese food.
Oh, see, we went to Lang Li.
Lang Li.
Where'd you go?
I mean, you were a kid of 12, so there's no, I mean, ordering out, you're going to bankrupt the family.
Think about it. You right. order out, it's crazy. You got to get pizza every single time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's nuts.
The McMurray's a call. They go, yes.
But how do you
that's
cook?
That's the business for the night.
How do you cook for all those people? I mean, your parents are saints.
My mother was always cooking. I feel like she was always frying onions for some reason. She put onions in everything. So she would chop the onions, and our house always smelled like onions. There was onions in everything.
Did you do a lot of, like, soup and stew, like,
soup,
big portions?
Stews,
yeah.
Meatloaf, spaghetti and meatballs, big comfort food to fill up the kids.
Potatoes and onions, a delicious little side.
Tons of potatoes. I thought it was normal for people just to eat white bread. I would just eat white bread just to kind of fill the time because I was so hungry.
Think how great you ate, though, as kids as far as healthy-wise. We would always have, you know, a chicken or something like that or a hamburger, but there would always be two vegetables. You know, you'd have corn and beans or you'd have peas and broccoli, whatever. I mean, at least our house, we always ate. And then,
always.
Wow.
And you had to
so
eat the vegetables,
away.
Too, every single time.
Yeah.
Grubhub revealed the food trends of 2016. This is based on what we ordered out. What do you think the number one thing is?
I'd guess pizza.
Me too.
You would think pizza. It's not.
What is it?
It's comfort food, mac and cheese.
Really?
So
who
good.
Is ordering out mac and cheese?
That is a waste. Like when people go frozen mac and cheese, I'm like, come on, man. You can make yourself. I mean, I can make mac and cheese, and if I can do it, you certainly can.
I don't know.
Making the microwave now too.
There's different type of mac and cheese that you'll notice when you take kids to a restaurant, and I'm not kidding when I say this. California Pizza Kitchen has the greatest mac and cheese I've ever had in my life.
Really?
No.
It's so good, and they'll put edamame in there or not.
Oh.
Are you kidding?
I swear to God,
you would put edamame in a mac and cheese. What's
they
the point?
They do that. It's on the menu. It's on the menu.
It's like putting kale in a mac
I mean,
and
that
cheese.
Is just a bad decision.
It's fantastic, I'm telling you.
Edamame and mac and cheese at California Pizza Cheese. I'll go for lunch, right? I'll go today, Pete, and report
right.
back tomorrow.
There's one downtown on Grand because I've been to all of them, and there's one in, what's the Old Orchard? We go there all
the
time.
Mall.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese, truffle oil, and bacon.
Well, yeah. That defeats the purpose. Again, you're putting bacon in everything. It's just raising the caloric value.
Yeah, but that is the purpose of mac and cheese. You're not in there for a healthy moment. Let me give
Thank you, Mark.
I'm with you, Jennings, on this one right
How
there,
about
baby.
A little bit of lobster mac and cheese? That stuff's awesome.
Lobster mac and cheese.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've ever had that. But yes, it is available at high-end restaurants, isn't it?
It's so yummy.
See, that's the other thing. If you're going lobster, you can't put it in a comfort food. Then you're just taking this like nice, beautiful, expensive thing and you just dumped it in a vat of cheese and noodles.
It's really
if you take a really good steak and chop it up and mix it up with your mac and cheese, it's no. You can't do that. Got to keep them separate.
We put hot dogs in our mac and cheese.
Now, there's
that's
a good move.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's a good move.
That's fine.
Kid food. Yeah.
Hamburger meat, wonderful. But a good steak? Ah, you don't ruin good food like that. Or lobster?
I think that would taste great.
Yeah, you got to have lobster mac and cheese just rocks.
Orders for cheesy mac and cheese went up 373% last year. People are ordering it.
Wow.
Mac and cheese.
That's weird. You mean ordering it to be delivered?
Yes, to be delivered to your house, according to Grubhub. Yeah.
Grubhub knows. That's just lazy.
Chinese food.
Yeah.
At number two.
That'd be in there.
What are you ordering for Chinese?
I like shrimp fried rice.
Shrimp fried rice.
And wonton soup. I love a good wonton soup.
Kung Pao chicken.
Kung Pao chicken?
Every time.
Barbecue pork fried rice.
Okay. What is it with the barbecued ribs from a Chinese restaurant that tastes so good?
Oh, they're like spare ribs.
Oh, my God. They're so good.
Yeah.
I get them all the time.
You know
get
what
an
it
order
is?
Of six.
You know what it is? It's like a teriyaki sauce. That's what makes it so
it's
good.
It's so good. I don't know what it is with the barbecue ribs from a Chinese restaurant.
I'm so hungry.
What's the appetizer, the wontons? What are they called?
Oh, the dumplings?
Crab rangoons?
Crab rangoon, thank you.
Pot stickers?
Crab rangoon is the greatest thing ever invented. I don't know what's inside. It's crab and something. That's very good.
I think it's cream cheese, right? It's so good.
It is. No wonder it's so good.
It's like
crab and cream cheese.
It's so yummy.
I could eat so much Chinese food.
I know.
I come from a long line of overeaters. I mean, you guys think, hey, pizza, an Olympic athlete, and I appreciate that. I have to work out all the time, but I can overeat anything nonstop,
really?
Especially Chinese. Oh,
I like the Chinese food lunch special. Andre and I are veterans.
Mark takes me to the best place ever. There was one. It was like in the basement of some hotel.
I found the lone cheap place around Michigan Avenue. Andre, you want to go to lunch over there?
It was good food.
Was it a buffet?
No, it was one table in the place. It doubled as like a Chinese food restaurant and a dry cleaners.
$4.99 for a plate with an egg roll. It's delicious.
Food and a dry cleaners. 312-981-7200. What do you like to order out? How about fried chicken? People are having fried chicken delivered to their house.
It's aggressive.
Really?
Again, I can't see that.
Who delivers fried chicken?
I don't know. I like fried chicken, but I wouldn't have it delivered.
Just go to Popeye's right around the corner.
All right.
It's on every single corner. Susan, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. Just a comment about mac and cheese. It was in New York last year, and in the village, we were walking by, and there was a restaurant that was only mac and cheese, and there was a line out the door. They had every kind of mac and cheese that you could see because the menu was on the window, and people were lining up to go in there. It wasn't just for kids. I mean, it was incredible.
Oh, I believe it.
But just a restaurant strictly for that, which is amazing.
Did you go in there? Did you hop in line?
No, there was a line. No, we went somewhere else. It was kind of, you know, like a little Italian outdoor cafe kind of place. Because, you know, we don't want to wait in line, and we don't like mac and cheese that much, then I'm going to go to a restaurant to go get it.
And wait an hour and 15 minutes. Thank you, Susan. Have a good day. 312-981-7200. If you see a line out in front of a restaurant, you suddenly feel like you want to go there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No doubt.
That's true.
I mean, the donut vault at right across the street from the merchandise mart, there's always a line. And suddenly people started thinking, oh, my God, I got to get in line. I got to try
it.
And
they sell out, too.
They sell out, close the doors, lock it. I got to tell you, it's the best donut you'll ever eat.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Going to dinner, I prefer a line. I want to go in. I want to wait. I want to know it's good. I want to have a drink. And then I want to eat.
Really? You like a line?
I don't mind a line at a dinner. Yeah, you sit. If you have nice company, you sit down. You settle into your evening. And then you get hungry. And then you have your meal.
When you go to a restaurant and they say, oh, it's going to be a 40-minute wait. Think about it. It's only two drinks. You want to go
right
to the bar. I don't have a problem with that. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So you can hang out and have a drink.
I mean,
I don't mind that.
Let's have an evening.
Right.
Well, where are we running to?
Why are you in such a hurry? You got to get home, watch TV?
That's if you have time. I never have time. I'm usually just scarfing the food down.
So according to Grubhub, what we ordered out, we have the mac and cheese, we have the Chinese food, we have the fried chicken, and according to Grubhub, don't yell at me about this, oxtail.
That's just weird.
The tail of a cow makes for a good takeout dinner.
That's just odd.
According to Grubhub.
Where would you even get that?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I think if I even ever ate oxtail.
Hook up the oxtail. Let's call, I have no idea.
I'm going to look it up. Best oxtail in Chicago. Mm.
Projected trends for 2017.
Put ketchup on that oxtail. What do you, yes?
Ordering out tamales.
Tamales?
Love tamales.
Yeah, but are you going to call up a place and say, deliver tamales to my house? I don't think so.
No, go to Pilsen. You can get any. You can get good tamales in Pilsen.
Brisket will be a trend for 2017.
I like brisket.
Who delivers brisket?
Brisket.com.
I just, okay, so I Googled brisket.com. I Googled best oxtail in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
90 Miles Cuban Cafe.
Is that?
Oh, sure. 90 Miles is great food.
Is that Milwaukee or is that Clybourne? One of the two.
It's on both. They have two locations.
Is that right?
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Foursquare?
Foursquare is a delivery?
Great camp game.
No, I just, okay. I've never been there. They're also saying Turquoise Cafe on Roscoe.
Yep, been there.
Very, has and, a nice flavor when you walk in there.
Uh-huh.
And Carnival in Fulton on Fulton Market.
Really?
Yeah.
Get some oxtail. Mm-hmm.
They got the food truck running around now, Carnival.
Mm-hmm. 720 WGN. Talking about food trends from 2016 and food trends for 2017. On the phone with us from Grubhub is Megan Gage. Megan, we were talking about mac and cheese. What is it with mac and cheese that everybody, they just smile from ear to ear because it makes them happy?
I mean, it's so creamy and delicious and just comforting. It's something that can't be missed for sure.
How do people or why do people get mac and cheese delivered to their house? Why is that the number one thing?
You know, I think it's something that's become really popular as a main dish and also a side, and it's something that travels pretty well. I think it's a pretty dense dish that, you know, keeps warm throughout the process. So it's a good one to bring in no matter if it's your main dish or something alongside another entree.
I can't believe pizza is not in your top five for trends of 2016. I feel like that's always in the top five.
Well, I think it's pretty exciting to see. There's a big variety of what's becoming really popular. I think it just shows how adventurous people are getting and really the variety on our platform, too. There's so many different options, and people are really starting to venture out and see what's really available for delivery.
We were talking before the commercial, oxtail. Who is ordering oxtail?
You know, that's a good question, but I guess we're going to see it rising popularity.
How about pizza? What do you get on your pizza? Do you go spinach? Do you go veggies? Do you go meat? What do you do?
I usually go meat. I'm pretty classic. I usually do either pepperoni or just cheese. I don't actually love a ton of veggies on my pizza.
Thin or thick?
Thin mostly. Every once in a while I'll go for a thick Chicago style.
Okay. Andrea?
What? How I like my pizza?
Yep.
Oh, I love Lou Malnati's. I love their deep dish, and I love their thin. I usually do a thin.
Okay.
But if I'm with a bunch of people, we'll do deep dish.
Spinach and mushroom, or the special, a little sausage, mushroom, onion, green pepper.
I can do anything on my pie, but give it to me well done. I love a crisp crust. Mm. And well done to most pizza joints means it's just crispy. Because I feel like sometimes the dough is undercooked. Okay. Yeah.
That's a key component. You got to ask for that. That's got to be.
I do every single time.
Yeah, you do.
You say, make it well done? Do you say that?
I do. I say well done.
No
and they're
kidding.
Like, okay. They're used to it. Just a crispy crust. Yes. Don't worry. It's not going to be burnt if it's a reputable place. Like Lou Malnati's. Every time we order from Lou's, always say well done.
Oh.
Comes out great.
That butter crust is to die for.
Oh, good.
Megan, who's ordering tamales? That's a new trend for 2017.
That is. We've seen a lot more of that being ordered as well. I think, again, a pretty good side dish and something you see in more Latin American and Mexican foods.
Tater tots on the list, guys. Oof. Love. What? How can you not love tater tots?
You don't like tots, Mark?
A tater tot is delicious. A tater tot delivered through the Chicago night showing up at your door cold is awful in a bad order.
Oh, I like a good tot.
I love the tater tot.
Yeah.
People are ordering more tater tots than French fries? Megan?
No, you know, we're seeing them both be pretty popular. I think French fries have been more popular in the past, but I think maybe now that we have even sweet potato tots, a lot of different varieties. We're seeing people choosing tots a little bit more frequently.
And I'm surprised sushi's not higher up on this list, because, I mean, I'll order Chinese food out, but sushi a lot.
Yeah, and this is actually based on things that are rising in popularity, so things that we're seeing spike more than we have in the years past. So while sushi is always a pretty popular dish year-round, these are the things that we see really emerging as more popular and more rising dishes.
What about Chicago? Any trends that you've seen?
Yeah, so one thing that we saw that was really interesting is we actually looked at different moments in time from the last year to see, you know, was there anything that was happening in the U.S. that was actually impacting potentially how diners were ordering. And so something specific to Chicago that we thought was pretty funny was that on the day that the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, we actually saw orders of hot dogs spiking in Chicago more than 36%. So I think some folks were trying to recreate the ballpark experience at home while they were watching the Cubs bring home the title.
Hot dogs being delivered to your house. Who's doing that? That's crazy.
You know, yeah, well, we work with Vienna Beef and Portillo's, and so there's some good hot dogs on the platform. So, again, okay. Some good stuff to find. Yeah.
Got it. Megan Gage. Megan, thanks for taking time. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks so much, guys.
Okay. Megan Gage from Grubhub.
Are we going to have drones delivering food to our house? Is that going to happen?
Probably.
Like, they're just going to, this is going to be like
driverless cars for Uber now. Of course there's going to be that.
Did you see that? The driverless car for Uber supposedly going to kill bicyclists if they don't fix things correctly? I'm sure they will.
Do you have to tip the drone if they deliver your food?
That's a good question.
I'm sure it's going to be added in on your credit card.
Oh, I'm sure.
Joan, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi there.
What's up?
Just wanted to mention the brisket, Big Bricks in Chicago on Lincoln.
Big Bricks on Lincoln. Yes, I've been there many times. They deliver brisket?
They will deliver brisket. I always think it's better to eat in the restaurant, but they deliver it. I had it at a Christmas party with the mac and cheese, and people called me the next day and said, hey, great party, but the food was insane.
Well, that's...
So want to give them a shout out.
This is one of the rare restaurants in Chicago. I've been there numerous times. They have great pie, and they have great barbecue there. You're right. Big Bricks on Lincoln. Thank you, Joan.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Look at this. Tony with the oxtail. Tony!
Hey, good morning to you.
You had a comment about oxtail?
Yes. It's a classic Italian dish. It's called osso bucco, O-S-S-O-B-U-C-C-O.
Mm-hmm.
You just take a lot of these oxtails and you can braise them a little bit in a heavy pan. And there's a nice sort of a gravy, but it's not real thick. And you cook the oxtails in...
Okay.
In the pan, it's absolutely delicious. You can cook it long and slow. It comes out very tender. It's a classic Italian dish. It's been around for a long, long time. It's been a while since I've made it, but it's wonderful.
All right. Thank you, Tony. There you go, Andrea. You can make some oxtail. Look it up.
I'm going to try it. That's on my list of things to try for 2017.
The stories we're following this morning, fights at malls across America, and the Lions lose to the Cowboys. That means they're tied with the Packers for the NFC North title. Details coming up top of the hour next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:09, Dean Richards has a few days off. We need to talk entertainment. George Michael passed away. I have a few questions from the site fansided.com. The entertainment reporter, Josh Hill, on the phone with us. Josh, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. When you heard the news about George Michael dying of heart failure at the age of 53, did you think, wait a second, this seems a little fishy?
You know, a little bit. I'm from Minnesota, so I kind of had the same feeling when Prince died.
Okay.
It was a little bit of an interesting situation where, you know, it's something up with this. But you never really heard that kind of stuff with George Michael. You know, going back and forth with other people that I know, they never really got that impression that he was up to this kind of suspicious stuff. There was no kind of suspicious details around his death. I think this is, you know, just an unfortunate 2016 death. It's sneaking one in right before the year ends.
53 years old, and he's talked about he's had problems with drugs. I wonder if that attributed to the heart failure. Of course it did.
Oh, it's got to, you know. You take a look at guys like George Carlin, who died 10 years ago. seemed like a relatively healthy guy. He was older in age, but all that drug abuse that he did earlier in his life really kind of catches up to you.
Right.
But like you said, you know, 53, that's ridiculous to have somebody die that young. And someone so talented and someone who's touched so many people. I mean, it was just a hard one to take right at Christmas. It was just rough.
We were at Christmas time. I remember someone said, oh, my God, George Michael just died. And we all went, what? We couldn't believe it. I felt the same way when Whitney Houston died. You know, I thought, oh, my God, no. I mean, maybe because it's, you know, our era, the 80s, you know, icon and stuff. But what got me is Josh, when they said he died peacefully.
Yeah, that was interesting.
With family and friends, I'm thinking, all right, well, so did they know it was coming? Was there a vigil by his bedside? I mean, that just was the word that struck me.
Yeah, it brought to mind when Bowie died. I remember I got a notification about that in the middle of the night, and I remember thinking to myself, I didn't even know he was sick. So, and I had that same kind of feeling with this, too. Maybe there was something that we didn't know. He was keeping it under wraps, kind of like a close-knit type of deal. But now you're hearing, like, you know, his longtime lover came out and said that he didn't know anything about this. So, you know, there's a lot of suspicion. It's when something tragic like this happens, you know, it strikes people in a lot of different ways. And we have a hard time trying to deal with it and find out, you know, how we truly feel about these things. And we jump straight to the suspicion thing. So maybe it's a coping mechanism for us.
Yeah, we want answers. And you're right about David Bowie, because Bowie, they kept it under wraps for a year. He even did a goodbye album. Think about that.
Yeah.
How do you keep that a secret? That's crazy.
I mean, that was a big one. That, you know, kicked off 2016 with a bang.
Right.
And, you know, George Michael going out. So it's been a rough year for everybody.
It drives me nuts. You see the same people on Facebook. When someone dies, they have to be the first to post. It drives me crazy. It's the same people every single time. Up, some celebrity died. It's on so-and-so's page.
Well, you got to get on Twitter, though, Pete. Get it out there that you're R.I.P. George Michael. Was it wrong that we played Last Christmas the day that it happens? Was that a poor choice? I mean, it was one of his great songs, right? That's a bad piece of irony there for George Michael. I love George Michael. Too Funky, one of the great music videos of all time.
Got to have faith, freedom. Yeah, definitely.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that Carm was showing me George Michael videos in the office. You know, I know who George Michael is. That's the type of entertainer he was. Even though it wasn't really my time music-wise, he just had such a far reach as far as his, you know, influence and the songs and how important they were to everybody of so many different generations.
Right.
You know, it was a big loss for everybody who grew up with him and who didn't.
No doubt.
Josh Hill on the phone with us, entertainment reporter for fansided.com. I am going to see Manchester by the Sea today with my wife at 12:50. And, Mark, I know you saw it, and you told me that it's an extremely, extremely depressing, sad movie.
I like sad movies. I don't know if Josh has seen it or not.
I do not like sad movies. Brian's song, cry every time.
But don't you want to feel your emotions?
No.
You don't.
I want to laugh.
See, I really want to see this movie.
Josh, what is it with this movie? It's got so much Oscar buzz right now, nominated for so many Golden Globes, Manchester by the Sea with Casey Affleck.
Yeah, it's just a really special movie. You know, you're making a good decision by going to see that today. Everybody's going to have to see this movie. Like you said, getting all kinds of Oscar buzz. Really, Casey Affleck is what steals the show here. He's lived in Ben Affleck's shadow for a while. He's a talented actor. He's done a lot of things. He was in all three of those Oceans movies. He's done other projects. This is really kind of his coming out party, if you will,
to
be a leading man in Hollywood. And it's a fantastic film. It is sad. It is a sad film. But it's also one of the more real films that you'll see all year, as far as just the way the dialogue is written.
Mm-hmm.
Even the phone conversations that they have, there's scenes where like the dialogue will be cutting out, just like you are on the phone. So.
Well,
it's fantastic.
Mark, can you give me the premise of the movie without giving it away?
The premise of the movie is you've got a broken man who was once in a very nourishing, loving family that is no longer, and he's trying to cope with putting his life back together, basically.
Oh,
is that fair enough, Hill? What do you think?
Without spoiling anything, that's the basic gist of the film. It's a performance piece. You know, it's definitely Oscar bait, but it's good Oscar bait. So that's the best find you can get.
Does he get happy at the end? Am I going to leave saying
what? Not really.
Come on, man.
A little bit.
Josh, why did they always put the and it's just every year and you know, the Oscar nominated movies are always, of course, Oscar worthy, but why do they always release every movie in November, December, mainly December?
My theory is everybody has a short attention span, but that's maybe me being a little
makes sense.
I would be one of those people.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, the summer is kind of reserved for your big blockbusters because not many people have much to do over the summer if you're out of school or out of, you know, you got work breaks and stuff like that. That's when your summer blockbusters come out. And this is more of a nuanced time of the year when films are coming out. So it's kind of like the last push. You want to be seen last before they start voting. So it's that old adage.
What happened to the Brad Pitt World War II movie that came out at Thanksgiving? I wanted to see that. Now it's gone. It came and went.
That's a good example of an Oscar bait movie that fails. So it's got everything that's supposed to work for. It's got Brad Pitt, Marion Cotillard's in it. Robert Zemeckis is directing it. It's got everything going for it, and it just doesn't work. That's what happens when a movie doesn't come together. They try to rush it out. That's usually why you see some of these movies. Like, there's a movie about astronauts and the Apollo mission coming out in January. That's usually a sign that the movie's not good, that the studio doesn't have a whole lot of faith in it, so they're going to release it right at the beginning of the year.
Right.
But to have a Brad Pitt movie come out in November like that, especially a movie that you've got so many great people behind, to have that fail and flame out like it did is just, you know, it happens, but it was shocking to see it with that movie.
Any movie that's released in January is a dog, am I right?
Usually. That's when you get your horror movies coming out and that's kind of the studio dump. They want to get all the crap out right away and then get into the good stuff later.
What's the last good Brad Pitt movie?
Oh, I would probably have to say Inglourious Basterds was the last good
okay,
movie.
Okay, I liked
Tarantino.
It.
I was going to say Thelma Louise.
Yeah.
No, he's done a few since then.
Oh,
he's great in the Ocean movies.
Yeah.
I loved him in the Ocean movies, but I'm trying to think. Yeah.
It's really hit and miss with Brad Pitt. He did one with the Coen brothers a couple of years ago that people forget about, Burn Before Reading. That was a good one. But
never saw it.
You know, with Brad Pitt, he does these big, big movies, and he can go do these small movies. And, you know, with the staying power that he has, it's a question of whether or not his stardom has passed him by and if we're in a new era. So,
boy, he needs money, too. He's going through that divorce right now. I kind of want to support him. Go ahead, Mark.
Moneyball.
Oh, Moneyball was great.
Give him credit for Moneyball.
Moneyball was great.
A River Runs Through It. Remember the pretty movies?
No, he had the long hair. It's kind of a mullet-esque thing going on with his hair.
Yeah, Legends of the Fallish.
Yes.
I didn't realize he was in 12 Years a Slave. What role did Brad Pitt?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he a...
Never saw it. Happy ending in that one?
Mean Man in that?
No. I need happy. I really do. I need happy movies.
The movie you're seeing today, I would see Sing before I'd see that.
I saw Sing last week. Loved it.
Yeah. Really?
I got choked up when the elephant sang at the end.
72% positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
It's like American Idol with farm animals and circus animals. That's what it is. It's a feel good. You'll be happy. And I'm not a musical guy, but people keep saying, go see La La Land.
Yes.
Really?
La La Land is... Yeah, it's fantastic. It's, you know, Hollywood likes to pat itself on the back. It likes movies about Hollywood. Here's La La Land, which is not only a film about Hollywood, but it's a musical. So it goes back, it harkens back to the good old days of Hollywood where everything was a musical, a big studio piece. And, you know, you've got Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day who was wondering if they could maybe be the new Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks duo in these kind of romantic comedy type movies. I know Carm's a big fan of romantic comedy. He talks about them all the time.
I love a good rom-com.
Do ya?
I'm going home to watch When Harry Met Sally for the 100th time.
Oh, I love that movie. Never gets old.
Oh, man.
Starring Carrie Fisher.
Why do you roll your eyes?
Ryan Gosling is the new Brad Pitt. Can we say that?
He could be. I mean, he's going to be in that new Blade Runner movie, so he's got a lot going for him. He's got, you know, and he's a great actor. He's a fun guy. So,
he's
you know, like, you know, Brad Pitt's starting to fade away a little bit. You got guys like Ryan Gosling coming up to take the mantle, which, you know, I won't complain about. I'll watch him in anything.
Ryan Gosling, Ryan Reynolds, they're nice to look at. I'm sorry. They are.
You don't
no,
have to
I'm
apologize.
Not even sorry.
Yeah, don't apologize.
You agree with me, Carms.
I do.
Josh Hill, fansided.com is the website, entertainment reporter. Josh, great to talk to you, man. Good job today.
Yeah, it was good to talk to you.
All right, man. Take care. He was, you guys work together?
I do. Josh is, very well versed. I hope you enjoyed these.
He's before. Great.
I enjoyed Josh.
I'm going
right
to steal
there,
that
so.
Now for my other shows.
You
I'm
going
to steal
free.
That from Cochran. WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It's that week between Christmas and New Year's where you see the year-end lists. Best TV shows of 2016. Let's do a whip around and see what everybody's watching right now. Best shows of 2016. Andrea?
I got hooked on This Is Us.
This Is Us is such a great show because it's true to life. Just it's wonderful on NBC. I'm 3 episodes behind, so don't tell me what's going on.
No, I won't. And I joined the party late because I didn't start watching until the episode before the final, you know, the winter break.
Right.
And so I
binged. I like how they have the winter break finale now to make it a big deal.
They used to never have that. Now it's like the winter break. And then it doesn't come back until February now, most of these shows.
Carm, what do you got?
What's the question? I'm sorry, I was distracted.
What are you watching right now? Best show of 2016.
Well, this is the first year of my binge watching of The Walking Dead, Pete. I went all 7 episodes, and now I'm a regular Sunday night. We're in the mid-season break, so that's been the big move for me. The Walking Dead, which is a little bit much, but I do enjoy it overall.
I'm catching up on House of Cards.
Okay.
I just started season 3.
Love House of Cards.
Oh, my gosh. Robin Wright is just gorgeous.
Is she not the greatest actress? Because
she is so good.
I love her. Remember how wonderful she was as Jenny in Forrest Gump? She is such an unlikable character.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Who do you like on House of Cards? Because you like them and then you can't stand them.
I said
Kevin Spacey is fantastic.
I said to Cochran one time, there's not one likable character on House of Cards except one person, and I don't want to. Can I say this? Because she is no longer on the show.
Okay.
But something happened to her in season 2. So, I mean, it's been enough time.
I've never
right?
seen
I
it,
can't
but
remember.
You can root for it.
What happened? Who
Rachel,
is it?
Rachel.
Rachel.
The prostitute.
So she's not on season 3?
Ironically, she's the most likable.
The prostitute.
Can I just root for you? She's the most likable character.
She kind of bugged me.
Well, she kind of tried to turn her life around. Mm-hmm. I mean, she kind of went on the run. She didn't want to ruin anyone's life or career. She just wanted to get away from everybody and ends up 6 feet under.
Okay. I didn't know she died. That's good to
know.
Sorry,
Pete.
Got it.
It happens pretty early on in season 2.
Doesn't ruin the whole show for you. You're probably still okay, but that was...
The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX. Did you guys watch that?
Mm-mm.
I watched a little of it. It was okay.
I loved it.
Did you?
Yes. Yeah. I loved it. John Travolta. I mean, the cast was fantastic. They were all nominated for Emmy Awards.
Who played
Sarah
Marcia
Paulson?
Clark. Yeah, she was
She
great.
Won an Emmy for that.
She was good.
She was so good. That's one of the best TV shows. You can get it on demand. The People versus O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story on FX. The ESPN version, the long series. Did you guys watch that? About
yes,
O.J. Simpson?
The 5-part series. Unbelievable.
It was so good.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, I did watch that.
They showed tons of footage that you've never seen before.
That was cool. I did see that.
I had forgotten how he got himself caught. It's really incredible how stupid he was.
And just
dumb. I mean, you were out, man. You had it. Not that you deserved to have it. He belonged in prison. But the way he put himself back into jail, just incredible.
One of the best shows of 2016, Westworld. Anybody watching Westworld on HBO? The buzz is unbelievable.
Everybody watches this. I have not seen this. Have you guys?
Tons of naked people. Do you watch crime?
I don't watch Westworld. Okay. I'm willing to watch Westworld. I can't wait for Girls. Final season.
Wait
Are you
a second.
Serious?
I thought Girls was canceled.
No. Girls?
I thought it was done.
One more season.
I love Girls, and I've never seen it.
Girl, you don't watch. You never watch Girls.
I've watched Girls. I bugged out around season 3 or 4. I can't remember.
Really?
Yes. Allison Williams. When I saw her naked 3 times, I'm like, okay, I'm good.
That made you run away?
No, I said I'm fine with it. I don't need to watch anymore.
I mean, I was hoping for every night at that point. I love Allison Williams and Lena.
How about Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Great.
Love Veep. It is so good. Have you seen it?
I have not. I've seen some episodes, but I'm not into it.
Watch one episode.
Here's the problem.
Watch 2 in a row.
We're overcommitted on television.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff going on here.
How about The Night Of on HBO? Nope. Have you seen that?
No. Do you guys watch The Affair on Showtime?
I watched the half of the first season, and I thought this is extremely depressing.
I know. They did a stat. They said more men dislike The Affair. Like, women think it's steamy, and it is, because it's basically, it's two couples that are each having affairs.
Right. I don't know what's enjoyable about watching that.
Oh.
You're seeing two families break up.
Wow.
Can I get a strategy on how you watch all this stuff? You DVR, and then you have just, I'm going 5-hour block, I'm watching it all? That's what
you
got to
binge.
Right.
Everybody's binging now.
Yeah.
Everything's on demand. You don't want to watch commercials anymore. Same with This Is Us. It bothers me that I watch it on demand and you have to watch the commercials.
I hate that too, where it says fast forward is not available.
But at least we have it on demand now.
Yeah.
You know, if you miss it, you're done.
Do you watch Jeopardy every day?
I do not.
Okay.
Wheel of Fortune. He's a Wheel of Fortune guy.
I do not watch Wheel of Fortune.
I mean, if
people... What do you guys think? I just binge watch TV nonstop?
You've named basically every show. Yep, watch that one. The only thing you haven't watched is Veep, which makes me think you like don't like Julia Louise or something going on here.
No, I like her, but I'm just overcommitted. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Like, what was the zombie show you said you're binge watching?
Walking Dead.
See, I watched the first three seasons. It's the same storyline. There you run from zombies, somebody dies, and then they move on to the next city.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's correct.
I haven't watched that at all.
You don't need to. That's the premise right there. They kill some zombies, somebody dies in the episode, and they move to another city.
Kind of a good time to jump on. Going to be interesting coming out here in February with the second half of the season.
How many seasons of Walking Dead have there been?
Seven.
Oh, God. We'd have to completely catch up on that, Pete.
How about The Americans on FX? Calling it one of the top shows of 2016.
Love The Americans, but I have not seen season three yet.
Why is that?
No time.
Because I was the same way. I watched the first two seasons on this show is great, and then I kind of lost interest.
You know why I think I lost interest was I always hate when, and this is going to sound really mean, but when the kids, you know, they did this on The Good Wife, too. There's a show, and then the kids are little, and they're cute, and they're fun, and they're kind of a side story. Uh-huh. But then the kids become the main story. I didn't like when the daughter, she kind of got dragged into the espionage thing. And
yep,
she would
I didn't care about her.
Yeah, I didn't
it was
either.
Too much.
I didn't either. I thought, just focus on them.
And then the main characters are now dating in real life, and they have a baby together.
That's cool.
That's a dream right there. That's how it should work.
All right. The big story coming up next, fights at malls across America. Did they find out about it on social media and then go to the malls and start the fights? Details with Andrea coming up next on 720. Okay. Yeah. 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Check. Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back for the pregame on Monday for the Winter Classic starting at 9 a.m. The Blackhawks lead their division with 49 points. A lot of people are saying they haven't even played their best hockey yet this season. Let's bring in the man that sits alongside Pat Foley on Comcast Sportsnet and will be sitting next to Doc Emrick for the Winter Classic in St. Louis on Monday. It's our old buddy Eddie O. Eddie, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays, Pete, Carm, AD. Hope everybody's doing well. And I want to know who canceled on Cochran that you guys needed me to fill in this morning.
Nobody, man. I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been? Did you have a good Christmas?
Everything yeah, was great. Yeah, I had everybody home together for about 48 hours, which was nice to have the four kids. And my father-in-law's in town. My folks are in the area, obviously. So it was good to have everybody home, and we had a real nice couple of days with the kids and the family, so that's what it's all about. So good to be home for the break, and looking forward to a heavy-duty schedule here in between now and pretty much the end of January.
This is it. This is when you hit it, don't you? You hit the ground running.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, you mentioned the Winter Classic coming up in St. Louis, and you know, we start doing Sunday games on NBC, you know, right around the Super Bowl time, so... it'll start getting busy personally, both locally here with the Hawks and nationally on NBC, Pete. But it's a great time of year because when that starts happening, teams are starting to trying to figure out where they are, who they are before the trade deadline, and what's going to end up happening for the playoffs. Even though it seems like it's a long ways away, it is so close. It is so tight. You go 3-4 games without winning, all of a sudden, that 6 or 7 point lead, wherever you might be in the division, all of a sudden is 2 or 3. And, you know, that's the difference between home ice and making the playoffs. That's how close it is in a National Hockey League.
How would you grade the Blackhawks so far this season?
Oh, I would say B+ for sure.
Okay.
I heard you say before, Pete, and it's something that the great Pat Foley and I have talked about over the course of, you know, I don't say the majority of the year, but a good portion of the year, we still think, I mean, I shouldn't speak for Pat, but, you know, I'll speak for myself. I still think this team has and needs to get to another level. Goaltending has been phenomenal all season long. The production from from Panarin and Kane has been consistent. Marian Hossa is going to the All-Star game. Artem Anisimov has been really solid. Unfortunately, hurt a couple of times, but look, at the end of the day, this team's defense is as deep as it's been in a long, long time. But I think when you talk to the players, and I interviewed Duncan Keith, I want to say probably 10 days back, Pete. I can't remember which game. Might have been in St. Louis, but don't quote me. And, I'm just not quoting him exactly, but paraphrasing and saying, look, we got to find more consistency in our game for 60 minutes. And I think when it comes from a guy that is a world-class defenseman going to the Hockey Hall of Fame and a guy that's won 3 cups and a couple of gold medals, he certainly knows what the hell he's talking about. And I think that that's pretty much the feel inside that locker room, is that, they still feel that they can go to another level. And, look, Corey Crawford got hurt, got sick. Scott Darling came in, did another incredible job. You've had guys, go down with injury. Guys have stepped up. The young players have seen a kind of taken advantage of the opportunity, whether it's Ryan Hartman or Vinny Hinostroza. So a lot of positive things. So not considering I was ever a B-plus student, Pete, but I would give a B-plus to this point. And look, and they're sitting on top of the Western Conference, so that's pretty salty.
Well, they find a way to win, and you brought up Marian Hossa, 37 years old, and despite his latest injury, he's having such a great season, Eddie.
Yeah. Well, he's going to the All-Star game for sure. I think it goes hand-in-hand with the early exit last year, Pete, from the playoffs. Marian Hossa and the Blackhawks playing a lot of hockey prior to that. He got off to a great start in the World Cup of Hockey, maybe for people that maybe just jumped on the hockey bandwagon here the last couple of months before the start of the NHL season. The NHL and the Players Association had the World Cup of Hockey. It used to be the Canada Cup back in my day, where teams from 7 different countries, and then they combined another country in Team Europe and with a bunch of different countries and got Team Europe. And Marian Hossa played in that and played terrific hockey. And I think getting off to such a good start in that tournament, I think it just translated right into the start of the regular season. And look, and I think that the pressure of getting that one more goal and getting goal number 500 early in the season, I think that just took a lot of pressure off of Marian Hossa. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And he's off to a great start. And look, he can have an impact on the game as Jonathan Toews can, whether they're scoring or not. But Marian Hossa is the type of guy that, if you're trying to teach young hockey players or teach anybody that wants to play the game the right way as a forward, you're going to show clip after clip after clip of Marian Hossa, because that's just the way that he plays. He's just a competitor. He's a tremendous teammate. Every guy in that locker room looks up to him. And he's going out there and playing like a young 22 or 23 big hoss.
Right.
So it's great to see. But I think the rest probably did him the most good, Pete, because of the early exit last year. And look, I mean, I think over the course of, going into that playoff series against St. Louis, I think the Blackhawks had played like 565 games in the prior 6 seasons or whatever the number was. And that doesn't even include the Olympics and stuff. So I just think that obviously it's great to see. And like I said, he's going to the All-Star game without question. And then is having a terrific season.
Eddie Olchek on the phone with us. Carm, you got something for Eddie?
Well, Edzo, did you get the banana cream pie sent over there?
I did not, Carm. Well, since you opened up the banana cream door, why don't you share everybody that late night call I got one night after hours from a Mark Carman.
Yeah, I might have accidentally been texting a lady friend, and I said I'm going to bring over the banana cream pie, and I sent it to Edzo.
He didn't, Eddie.
I'm like, coming over with the pie. You ready?
Is that code?
Yeah, he sent it over to me, so I didn't know what the hell was going on, Pete. But
see, I meant that text.
I didn't get any banana cream pie at 1:30 in the morning on that text from Mark Carman.
Well, that's why I figured I'd hook you up in the holiday season, but you didn't respond. Hey, we got a text from the 708 here. Edzo's old aunt used to substitute teach at Oak Lawn High School for us. Is she still with us, from Jimbo? Is that a true story? Your aunt was a substitute teacher?
Yeah, my aunt. My sister-in-law, Kim,
Okay.
Used to be a school teacher. Now she has two young girls, Ava and Olivia Olchek, going to school. So she's not. I think she might be doing some stuff teaching on the side, but I don't think she's part time anymore. No.
Were you guys respectful to your substitute teachers?
They got all the brains. Olchek family got all the brains. Yeah.
Eddie, we had Brent Sopel on yesterday. He's so excited to be playing in the alumni game on Saturday because he's going to be playing against Wayne Gretzky.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, are you going to try to check Gretzky if you have the chance? And he said, absolutely. Some of these guys go in, they just want to have fun, but others take it very seriously. I'm a little worried about Troy Murray, who's going to be playing in the game. I don't want him to pull a hammy or get injured. Do you have a talk with some of these guys beforehand?
No. I had my alumni experience in Winnipeg a couple of months ago when I was invited by the Winnipeg Jets to play in the alumni game in Winnipeg against the Edmonton Oilers. So I had my chance to play against the Oilers again from the mid-80s when they were winning all those championships. But I think what makes it great, though, Pete, is that what this does, and I think with the leadership of Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough and Jay Blanc all the way through this Blackhawk organization, I think it's connecting the fans of the past with the current fans, and also bringing back the players and being able to tell and show people that are maybe newer Blackhawk fans now of the players that came before, the Kane, the Taves, the Hossa, the Keats, the Seabrooks, the Chalmersons, the Crawfords, all those guys, is that, you know, yeah, there were Blackhawk players that came before these guys.
Right.
And it's connecting the past with the current, and I think that's what makes it so great. And when you see these alumni games, you know, you're able to have some of our elder statesmen that are Blackhawk fans be able to tell their kids or their grandkids that, hey, you know, this guy here was a, you know, he was a solid two-way center iceman, or a guy like Troy Murray, one of the greatest two-way centermen the Blackhawk organization has ever had, or, you know. And I think that's what makes it so great. So to be able to take fans that are been hockey fans and Blackhawk fans forever, to be able to take them back again and see these guys on the ice again against an arch rival like the Blues. And look, and even the initiative that the Blackhawks have started now with the one more shift, where they bring back
right
guys that have played, and they skate out on the ice and they acknowledge them, whether it was Savvy on opening night the first time that they did it, or they had Steve Larmer come back as well. You know, it's just an opportunity to spread the news and spread the love of former Blackhawk players to today's fan. And I just think it's terrific. So no advice coming from me. I'm going to worry about January 2nd when the so-called real hockey players get on the ice, Ed Bush. And I'll look forward to doing, I think it's going to be my 11th Winter Classic. I'll
God,
be
that's
doing.
Great.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot of fun to be there.
We had to look up and find out when Gretzky played for the Blues. He was there for a cup of coffee. He played 31 games. He went from Edmonton to L.A., and he was in St. Louis from February until the end of the season. And he scored 37 points in 31 games. So he did make an impact, but I want to say they lost in the conference finals that year.
You would know better than me, but
okay.
I do know that I know he's got family in that area. So, you know, I think the Blues did a good job of convincing Wayne Gretzky to play in that game, because I know after the game in Winnipeg, it sounded like that he was pretty much going to put up the skates for good. But I think Brett Hull and Al MacInnis and Jamie Rivers and guys like that for the Blues alumni convinced them to play. And look, I think any time that you can have you know, the greatest hockey player in history of the game participate in a game, even though
right.
we only had that cup of coffee, as you mentioned, Pete, in St. Louis, I think it's great. And it's good for everybody, regardless of you know, how few games maybe a guy played in a particular city, even when it's Wayne Gretzky.
Eddie, we have Doc Emrick on next hour. Does he do anything pregame that you look at him and say, Doc, what are you doing? What's going on? Does he have any superstitions, pregame rituals that he does? What does he do pregame? Anything?
No, I mean, I think the most crucial time for both of us is being able to watch the warmups. And, you know, we have an idea of what the line rushes and the sets of defense are going to be, Pete, before the teams take the ice. But it's always good to just get a visual and to know that, you know, that Keith is going to be out there with Jalmerson, or with Winnipeg in tonight, just say for example, is Blake Wheeler going to be out there with Patrick Laine, just things like that. So I think that's the time there where I think is where Doc really zones in and really has kind of gets a template of how it's going to be. And again, I mean, things happen, you get players hurt, things change, but I would say that's the one part of the pregame is that I don't think anybody wants to come in there and tap Doc on the shoulder or ask him for their autograph or if he wants a cup of coffee. I think that's where you just leave Doc to being Doc. And, look, how lucky am I? I got a chance to work with two Hall of Famers. Makes my job awfully easy. It's an intimidating chair to sit in each and every night, but I couldn't be more privileged to be able to do that for the Blackhawks and working with the great Pat Foley on the national stage with Doc Emmerich.
Edzo, do you like the Winter Classic? I mean, it's a great marketing tool, and people love it, and it's awesome to see the Hawks at Wrigley Field or Soldier Field or wherever. Yeah. But, like, for the pure hockey guy, do you like it?
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it, Tom. I really don't. Like, look, I'm envious of these guys that get a chance to play outdoors. It does come down to business. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And when fans and obviously backing of corporations and Bridgestone with the Winter Classic, when you have the demand for 40,000, 50,000 tickets, and oh yeah, by the way, we've played in a couple of venues where we've gotten 105,000 at the Big House when the Maple Leafs and Red Wings played a couple of years. Why would you turn your back on one gate, one game where you can get, north of 40,000 people to a hockey game? And look, and I really believe this, is that if they would expand the United Center, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind with what this city has done and what the organization has done both on and off the ice, is that the Blackhawks could get 40,000 people to every Blackhawk game.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
There is no doubt in my mind that that can happen. Now, obviously, that's not happening. But so in answering it, I think it's great because I think it does take everybody to the grassroots of the game, Carm. But at the end of the day, it is about business. And when you can sell 40,000 tickets to a game that's outdoors, why wouldn't you do it for one game?
Right.
Eddie, we love you. Thank you, buddy.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and give AD a hug for me.
Love you, Edzo. Happy holidays.
Talk soon.
You too, AD. See you. Bye.
The great Eddie Olczyk.
See, we save our part for the end.
That's
otherwise,
nice.
Otherwise, it would just consume the whole
conversation.
I like
how he calls you AD, too.
I know. He's my guy. He's the best.
There was a huge fight at the Fox Valley Mall yesterday, and fights at malls across America. David Jennings with details coming up next. Top of the hour news on 720 WGN. 9:12, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We're live on CLTV. We're live on my Facebook page. And we're live on 720 WGN in studio. I haven't seen him in such a long time. It is dog expert. Can I call you that? Steve Dale, it's good to see you, man.
You can call me whatever you want, just so you scoop afterwards.
Can you tell people to pick up their poop during the wintertime?
They will.
Feel like if they're walking their dog, it'll freeze and everything will be fine.
I don't understand that.
I mean, get it.
They feel that when the snow melts, magically, poof, the poop disappears.
Yesterday I took a walk. It was beautiful
out.
And literally, I was on the sidewalk and I'm thinking, oh my, this is all, not to be gross, it's on the sidewalk. What is going on?
I don't understand why people do not. I don't understand.
It.
And it happens at this time of year more than any other time of year. So people sometimes leave it in the summer. But I think people actually think that when the snow melts,
it'll just melt away.
Yes.
It stays there. And, you got to pick it up.
There's organisms in it that aren't good for kids. They aren't good for pets. You need to pick up. I mean, it's your responsibility. If you're a dog owner, I say scoop the poop. There is no poop fairy.
I want to ask you, I have a dog, and I want to ask you about dog booties.
Oh, sure.
Do you have to buy the booties for the dogs? Because when we were growing up, we never had the booty, and the dogs are fine. Why do we have to put the booties on the dog now?
I hear you have no problem getting the booties, but there is a problem.
Do you put the dog booties on your dog?
We should more than we do.
Okay.
So there are several ways to deal with the cold and the ice, and the dogs really do hurt. So they're not doing that little dance that they do because they're making
salt in their paws.
Yes,
right?
They're not making like Britney Spears to entertain us. That salt really gets embedded, or little ice balls sometimes. They really get embedded in the paw pads, and it hurts.
Okay,
and that's what that dance is about. So there is salt you can get. that is pet friendly.
I bought it at Jewel. They had it on sale, $9.99.
Yeah, and it's better for the concrete, also, I'm told.
Okay.
So it's a good thing anyway. As far as the little ice balls go, the best way to prevent that are the little booties. But there are other possibilities. So one, the no-stick spray Pam, I think is the big brand name, right, that you use for frying pans and stuff.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You spray, right.
Put that on the paw?
You can, yeah.
Wait a second. You want me to spray Pam on my dog's paws before we go out? Really?
That's one way. Or Vaseline is another way, a little bit of Vaseline. Because that way the ice balls don't get in there. And there's a product called Musher's Wax, which is the best choice of all. It's a commercial product that does the same thing. It's kind of like a Vaseline type thing.
I like the Pam spray. I never thought of that. But don't you think he's going to be licking his paws?
Well, if you buy the butter flavor especially. I may be licking the paws.
Yes. Leave paw prints on your hardwood floors with the Pam.
Is it uncomfortable for the dogs when they put the boots on?
Well, so a dog that's habituated to it. So it used to be like, oh my gosh, who would do that? That's such a not so macho thing to do, right? It turns out the sled dogs... And they're canine athletes, as hardcore as they come. They wear booties. You know, the Iditarod dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they wear little booties.
Okay.
You know, so if they're good enough for those dogs, they're good enough for my dog or your dog.
Can I just ask a question? I mean, when I go out in the wintertime, I'm uncomfortable. It's cold. My back hurts. My shoulders are tight. Why does the dog have to be comfortable at every second? Can't the dog just be uncomfortable and you guys are good with it? I mean, why does he have to...
You don't care about your dog?
Well, I don't... Doesn't he
I care about my dog.
He can struggle a little bit in the wintertime.
No, he's
it's
not
okay.
going to struggle.
Wow.
No.
Harsh.
I don't even understand.
What is
any
wrong
of that
with
statement?
You? Are you a dog hater?
It's too much effort. The paws, the this, the that. Just let him go out. He'll be fine.
How about a sweater? How do you feel about just a sweater?
Too much. Just let him. He'll be fine.
Dog, sweaters are really important, actually. So for very small dogs, like little toy dogs, or for the any of the sighthounds, having something on is exceedingly important.
They need a coat.
They don't shiver to entertain you. They shiver because they're cold.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
They
so
need a coat.
This is so exciting. I have, as Andrea knows, pretty much a perfect track record this year. 11 months so far, we've adopted out 11 dogs with Cochran.
And
so
very quickly, too.
Very often.
Within
before,
days.
Yeah, or sooner, before the show is over, pretty much.
Yeah.
However, the pressure is on because this is
number
12.
What are you doing
12.
To me here? I love this dog, by the way. If I could get a second dog, I mean, this dog is fantastic.
So phenomenal Emily Kleem is here from South Suburban Humane, who will tell us about a dog named Turkey.
Yes. So Wild Turkey is his full name.
Wild Turkey.
Name. Yes. he's about 2 years old. We pulled him from an overcrowded shelter in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where they have so many dogs that they euthanize healthy, adoptable dogs. So we pulled him up here, and he is actually the last of the group that we pulled to be adopted. So he's been with us since December 6th, and we think maybe it's because of his exuberance. That's the word we're using. He's high energy, but he loves dogs. He loves people. You see, he's been, you know.
It looks like a black lab. Is it a lab mix?
Yeah.
Because labs are very excited. They always get excited, don't they?
It's a very typical characteristic of the breed, for sure.
Okay.
So, yeah, we think he's mostly black lab. He might have a little bit of pointer in him, especially the way he was reacting to the pigeons his first time in the city. Maybe, you know, he's got a little bit of bird dog in him. But, you know, he would be great for a family that likes to go out for walks, you know, likes to run around, maybe with tweens who are super active. I think he'd be, you know, he'd run off a lot of that energy, and then he'd climb up on the couch and watch Netflix.
This is what I love about Wild... This is what I love about Wild Turkey. Hasn't barked once since he's been here, even during commercials. Not barking. That's what you want. You don't want a dog barking all the time.
No. And he's house trained. He's crate trained. Steve
really?
Was getting him. You can go on Steve's Facebook page and see the video earlier. He was sitting for treats, laying down for treats. So,
he's so good. And he loves to play. He's the type of dog you go over and he wants to play.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
He's sitting at your feet right now. This is a phenomenal animal. Phenomenal animal.
You need a dog?
I do, but...
this is a Mark Carman dog.
I don't have
Look
the time to do it. Somebody should take this dog. It's a
I'm
great
I'm not sure there is
guy.
A Mark Carman dog, to tell you the truth.
Know,
easy there, Steve. I have when I've had roommates, I've always had dogs. The dog loves me the most of anyone in the house.
Of course.
But there's no question about that. But Me alone.
No question about that.
And the dog went outside, and I didn't put the paws on, and the dog was fine, and he went
spray some Pam. How can people adopt this dog? This seems like the perfect dog. Too good to be true.
Right, right. And we have lots of dogs like him at our shelter. It's located on West End Avenue down in Chicago Heights, so we're down in the south suburbs. Our website has all of the information about adopting him and the rest of the pets. It's southsuburbanhumane.org. We also have a really active Facebook page, so you can go on there and check out everything that's going on. Or our shelter is open tomorrow from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay. So the dog looks like a black Labrador, essentially, kind of slim, just a gorgeous coat.
He really is.
Just a shiny,
great coat.
Gorgeous
you don't need
coat.
To put a sweater on wild turkey.
No, because
wild turkey is kind of fun. Fun is the best word to describe this dog.
That's a great word,
And very sweet also. And I have exciting news, or better yet, Emily does, about a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she'll tell you about that.
So the only place in Chicagoland to see a documentary called A Southern Fix is January 16th, which is a Monday. It's Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. It's at 7 p.m. at the AMC Schererville, 12. Basically, some documentarians wanted to explore the reason why we are euthanizing so many healthy, adoptable dogs in this country. We're killing 3 million a year, which is roughly the population of Chicago. So if you can wrap your mind around that. Every year. So they wanted to look at all the reasons why. And so the movie is an exploration of the solutions. It's not sad. It is sad, but it's really focusing more on what we as the city of Chicago, what we as a country can do to solve this problem.
Right.
So we want everybody to come out. You can get tickets through our website or through our Facebook page.
And you can adopt Wild Turkey through your website again. Give your website again before we go.
Yeah. southsuburbanhumane.org.
Okay. This is a great dog. Steve.
Yeah.
I want to go 12 for 12 this year.
I know. So it's all on your shoulders
potty
now, but
trained,
I think we can do it.
It's a mellow dog. Doesn't bark. Well, it's not a mellow dog. It's a very excitable dog,
but a fun dog.
Potty trained is most of your battle right there.
So if indeed you have an active, whether you're active, like you're an outdoorsy type, you like to be out and about and to run around. The dog is also very social, great with other dogs, great with people of all ages, which is really important. But if you have tweens, as you said, I mean, that can tire this dog out. And mom and dad, if you have tweens that you want to have tired out, here's a dog that can help you do that. So it works on both ends. And also a very affectionate dog. So this dog can, as we just saw, just kind of hang out and just loves to be
We'll put
loved.
It on our Facebook page, too.
That would be great.
Steve, great to see you again.
It's always good to see you, Pete. Thank you so much.
Emily, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We just got done talking to Eddie O about a half hour ago. Let's bring in the guy that's going to be doing the Winter Classic on Monday. It's the great Doc Emrick. Doc, how are you, sir?
Good to talk to you, Pete. Andrea and Mark and Percy. Is he still there?
Percy?
Percy the dog.
Percy. Turkey. It's Wild Turkey who just walked out of the studio.
Oh, yes. It's Turkey. I'm sorry. I thought it was Percy. Okay.
Wild
He's out
Turkey.
Of the studio?
Yes, he is.
He's probably winning all those friends up Michigan Avenue now. He sounds like a very adoptable dog.
What a
wonderful time you guys had.
Oh, it's a great black lab if anybody would like to adopt. Do you have a dog, Doc?
Yeah, we have two, and we're responsible for four others. We think they're the greatest souls on earth.
It's fun having a dog. Dogs make people happy. They really do.
Yeah, cats do too. We're equal opportunity owners of various creatures, but we really do love our dogs. That's for sure.
How many pets do you have?
Oh, we have horses. Some of them are rescues, and we have a soft heart that way. My wife, in particular, likes horses in a different way than Eddie does. I might add, and perhaps in a different way. With Andrea having $2 in her hand right now, headed for the pay window, in a different way, perhaps. But they're more pets than anything else. We actually, my wife put Santa hats on them for our Christmas card this year, and so it's kind of odd to see six horses with Santa hats on. But they're a lot of fun.
Doc, we spoke to Eddie O about a half hour ago, and I said, tell me about Doc's pregame ritual. And he said you do one thing and you can't be bothered. Do you know what that is? Do you know what he's talking about?
Oh, you know what? It's the three-on-twos because a lot of the three-on-twos is part of the warm-up that lasts about 3 minutes.
Yep.
And I didn't realize that I couldn't be bothered during that time, but it is a time when he and I go over the combinations of lines and defense pairs that are going to be used for the games. And the coaches usually are reliable in what they show us at that time. And in some of the distant rinks where it's very difficult to pick out that 4-inch sleeve number, I want to see them and at least call them in my mind one time before I see them in the game. So I guess that might be the time that he's talking about.
Yep, but that's exactly what he said.
That's the time. He's pretty quiet about it, that's for sure.
He said you were very zoned in. That's the only time that you can't be bothered, because that's your time to assess the players. It really is.
Well, you know what? He's probably protecting me, and I don't even know it. But, yeah, that's the time we write those down and just sort of recommit them to memory, because I go to the morning practice for one of the same reasons, yeah. It's all a part of the preparation, but I find preparation is about as much fun as doing the game itself and getting ready for one like the outdoor game. It used to be when we had the one in Buffalo with Pittsburgh, the very first one that was in the United States, we all wound up going the day before the game. And then after Crosby scored the shootout winner and it was such a magical thing with the snow and all, and it took off unbelievably, now I go in 3 days ahead because it seems like it really requires so much more. There are so many other events going on around. There's an alumni game, and there's a fireman's game that's going to be going on, and you just don't want to miss any of that.
Well, we talk about the alumni game a few times this week, and Wayne Gretzky is playing for the Blues. Most people don't remember Wayne Gretzky on the St. Louis Blues. He was there for a very short time.
Yeah, it was a time that Henri Brodeur is going to be a Blues goalie, I'm told, for at least part of a period. He never played for them, but he's in their hierarchy now. So I guess they want to win this thing, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe anybody that once was a part of the Blackhawks or thought about being a part of the Blackhawks should be in their lineup, too. I don't know. It's amazing what happens sometimes with these games. It's not like they become fiercely competitive because, you know, these guys have long ago retired. But I remember when Mike Keenan, who was Eddie Olczyk's coach in 94 when they won a championship together in New York, mm-hmm. came into Philadelphia to coach against his old team, coaching alumni. He actually benched some guys in the third period because he still thought he had a chance to win.
And that's Mike Keenan,
though.
And
they were really disappointed. They flew across the country, and they're sitting in the third period of an alumni game outdoors in Philly.
That is so Mike Keenan. Hey Doc, Blackhawks, most points in the Western Conference, tied for the second most in the league. Your opinion, how good are they?
Oh, really good. When you consider that they started the year with six guys that hadn't played for them before that were classified as rookies. You know, one was an older one, of course. But they're sixth in team defense. They're tied for second in goals for in the conference, which is not bad. They're tied with Minnesota, and only Edmonton has more. That's not bad. And when you consider how they started, and you consider also, you know, what has befallen them, that they've been without their captain for a stretch of time, that they were without Seabrook for a while, that Keith really wasn't strong at the beginning, and they won five of the last seven. I know the two that they didn't win are the last two, and Winnipeg sort of had their number this year, so that's what the challenge is. And they have had some time off, but, boy, they've got three games in 4 days, so they're going to go right back into it, and then they have the one in St. Louis. But, no, this is another one of those times. I believe I was talking with Steve at the very, very beginning of this year, and he was swearing off chocolate that day. It was the Andre, you might remember, I think it was the first week of January.
I remember, yes.
Worn off chocolate.
Yep.
And we were talking at that time about that was a time for Blackhawks fans in the pursuit of happiness to just sit still and be happy because it was a good time. Other than the two losses, if you settle all this down and say we started six rookies, we were without our best defense, two best defensemen at times, we lost our captain for a while, this is really not bad to be leading the conference and 1 point behind Columbus for the overall lead in the league.
Andrea, how long did the chocolate thing last, not eating chocolate for Steve?
Oh, a week? 2 weeks max?
Okay.
He's a chocoholic.
Not bad.
He doesn't have many vices, yeah. I have to say. You know, he really doesn't, but eating chocolate would be one, if you could even call it a vice.
Right, I remember bringing in a 5-pound bar later on in the spring because I thought it lasted longer than it did. And that was a reward. I didn't realize that it only went a week. Thank you, Andrea.
I'm sorry. I meant a month, Doc. I meant it lasted
a month. 2 months.
But this was the biggest bar.
Fine.
What was it, like a 10-pound chocolate bar?
How big was the chocolate bar, Doc?
I think it was a 5.
5-pounder.
Oh, it was awesome.
And, Doc, you're going to be doing the Winter Classic on Monday. Does it ever get old? Because as a fan, I love it every single year. I love, of course, that the Blackhawks are in it, but I love just watching the game outdoors.
Yes, it's fun because it's unpredictable. And if you can imagine the weather map with all of the temperatures that we see every day all over the country, Dan Craig, who is the ice guru, has a map of the rink, and there are temperatures all over that rink map. And that is what he will show us the morning when we get there to give us an update on how the ice is holding up. And strange things can cause these games to be either delayed or can be a thumbs up. And, boy, we're going to go, and not only are we going to go, these ice conditions are going to be terrific.
Right.
The strangest thing is sun. And, of course, the other bad thing that we can have is rain. But if you have cold and overcast and you have some snow thrown in, that's just perfect. But I never get tired of these games and answer your question. And I'm so excited about it. I could talk too long, and I know you have commercials to sell. And we want to get that turkey dog adopted.
I love Doc's doing it all. Doc, really a pleasure to talk to you, man. I'm a huge fan, and I can't wait for Monday. Appreciate it.
It will be a lot of fun. It's so great listening to your station, and I thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Doc. Talk soon.
Happy New Year.
That is the great Doc Emmerich. Of course, the Winter Classic happening Monday. Doc, Eddie O, and we'll have it live here on 720 WGN. 9:45, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Let's say hello to the Big O. Orion, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. How are you?
Well, I'm down with the cold in the desert. It's 45 degrees here in Scottsdale, Arizona at the moment. So we got here Christmas Day. And the first thing I did was catch a cold. So you'll have to struggle with this voice for a little while, but doing fine, looking forward to the new year, co-hosting the Rose Parade coverage on RFD-TV, and then the American Farm Bureau Federation comes to Phoenix to hold its annual convention. So we'll be spending a lot of work time here during the early days of the new year.
Orion, how many Rose Parades have you done over the years?
I think this will be the 6th one. I missed last year because I was just 3 months out of heart surgery. And you have to do a lot of climbing to do the Rose Parade. You have to climb all the way to the top of the stands and get into the booth and everything. So
okay.
I think I have done 6 of them and enjoy them. But, you know, to do that, you have to be up at 2:30 in the morning.
You do?
Really? Yeah, because it starts early, and you have to get there to make sure that microphones are working and cameras are where they should be, and most importantly, that my co-host Pam Minnick and I are where we should be.
Okay.
But we are at the very start of the parade, so we get to see the opening show. We get to see the flyover, and it's really a great time, and the number of people, unbelievable. So
year after year, you receive Christmas cards. I mean, over the years, you've received thousands and thousands of Christmas cards. Any special ones that stand out this year?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I talked about it on my Samuelson Says, because, yes, we do get a lot of Christmas cards. But quick history. Back in 1957, at the International Livestock Show in Chicago, pretty young farm girl from Indiana. Her name was Sue Secondino, and she showed the grand champion steer that year. And the steer was named Honeymoon because she and Pete had just been married. So they were in Chicago on their honeymoon. Well, the second half of that story is we used to have big name entertainment at the International Amphitheater for the livestock show, and that year it was Arthur Godfrey. Are you old enough to remember?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he was the man with that CBS radio show.
Right.
And he fell in love with the story of Sue Secondino and showed up at the auction a couple of days later. and proceeded to bid $30 a pound, $31,000.50, an all-time record price at the International Livestock Show. And I interviewed him after the auction, and he said, "Don't ever let me go to a cattle auction again." But the reason it all came to memory is I got a family picture Christmas card from Pete and Sue Secondino. They're still farming down in Indiana and looking great, and what a family. They're, I would say, they're top producers because of the number of kids and grandkids in the family. So that one really stood out.
Do you send out a Christmas card every year?
Yes, we do.
And what is it? What is it this year?
Well, you know, because of Air Orion and my Cessna 210, we generally get cards that have an airplane somewhere in it, and send that kind of a card. But our Christmas cards always say Merry Christmas, not just Happy Holidays.
Okay, that's great. And Orion, we were talking earlier about kale and arugula. When did the whole kale craze start? Was it the past year or a few years ago? When did it all come about?
I think it came about because Dave Ennett kept talking about it on WGN radio. And I would say last 4 or 5 years, it became the green vegetable of choice for a lot of people. And, of course, you know what we did. We covered it with chocolate, thanks to the Morpheus chocolate folks in Huntley. And so for our Santa secret exchange this year, second year in a row, I got Dave's name. Second year in a row, Morcus made a box of kale covered with chocolate.
I had it. I was in studio when you brought it in.
I know.
And that's the perfect example of kale will taste great, or anything would taste great if you put chocolate on it.
You're absolutely right.
Man. And what do you do for your cold? You got any old remedies? Because my nose is filled today. I'm with you.
Oh, is it really?
Yes,
well,
it is.
I use some of the newer remedies. I generally do airborne, which seems to slow down and the intensity of the cold.
Okay.
But, you know, we arrived here at noon on Christmas Day, and the temperature was 42. And that's a little cool for the desert, although it will freeze in the desert. But 42 is kind of cool. It's not good pool weather. But basically, I just do tea and honey. And
you just got to wait it out.
And live with it. Yeah. Right. It'll go away.
Doc Most said to me a couple of months ago, and I had a little summer cold, he said, try Mucinex D, and it was excellent.
Because it dries you out?
Yes, it dries you out. I'm not a big over-the-counter cold medicine kind of person either. But that's really good, though. The Mucinex is good. It dries it up. And there's a little bit of a stimulant in it, too. So it doesn't make you drowsy. It makes you feel a little more awake.
So don't take it at night.
Right.
Yes. Take it during the day.
There might be Mucinex like PM.
But a little bit of alcohol in it, Andrea.
Well, you know.
A little kickback.
I'll take it after
the
show.
She likes
that. I thought you were going to say remedy might be a cup of hot tea and a little bit of whiskey. For the chest.
Brandy for me.
A little brandy.
Yeah. My mother used to give us that, too. Big O, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day.
All right, take care of yourself. It's 720 WGN. We're live on CLTV for a few more minutes in 720 WGN. We were talking about colds with Orion. Boy, you bring up colds, the text messages go crazy. 312-981-7200 is our text line, 630 area code. Tell Andrea, Mucinex D is a dream.
It is. I never, ever, ever used it until Doc Most mentioned it to me this summer, and it's fantastic.
847 area code. Hey, Pete, get yourself some grapefruit seed extract for your cold. It's simple to use. 10 drops in a glass of water 3 times a day. Voila. Okay. I've never heard of that. Grapefruit seed extract.
Where would you find such a thing?
What happened to the old vitamin C? You know, like the vitamin C packets that you could put 1,000 milligrams?
It's fake.
No.
They're fake. Doc Most, we had that conversation with him. He said the immune packs, nothing. If you want to take the actual vitamin, like vitamin D as in dog, or a multivitamin, sure. But after the fact, you're just going to have to sit there and wait.
I knew those immune packs were not real. There's no way that package.
He talked about those. He
said
he says if it makes you feel good, the emergency packs, if it makes you feel good, take it.
Okay, I'm going to have one now.
My wife takes one every single day because she likes to drink a glass of water right when she wakes up.
Me too.
Okay.
You have to start the day with a glass of water.
Yeah, but that powder thing that comes for 10 cents, it can't work.
708 area code, nothing you can do for a cold 5 to 7 days. Don't waste your money. Yeah. I kind of agree with that. Alka-Seltzer cold is what I use. You just want to take something, okay?
Yeah, and you want to sleep at night. Do you have a cough yet?
No cough. It's just a runny nose.
The worst is when you get the cough and nothing. You can't sleep. You know, mm-mm. Then it's like that tickle, like the
What's the use to having a big nose like this if you can't breathe out of it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No. I feel you.
Somewhat.
Got to take another quick break, and we'll talk to the Midday Show coming up next at 720 WGN.